aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rocon Show with Anna DeBlantis. So for another day of broadcast insolence.
Yes. Yep. Big Bears win. I know you were at the game. We'll be talking to OB later.
Yes.
In the show.
OB will be here in the, don't tell me, the 4 o'clock hour at 4:40. Dr. Jim Adams also in the 4 o'clock hour, if you want to stick around for that. Whooping Cough is coming back, and it's in the north suburbs. It's like a really huge deal. And how about this?
Yeah.
How about this story? Walgreens has stopped selling Zantac over contamination fears.
Just that's a pretty big story. I know a lot of people who take Zantac, and they even linked
it
to cancer. Like, there's some issues.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Sorry.
No, no.
We'll talk to the doctor. I don't want you to panic, because, yeah, those things tend to happen. But CVS has followed suit, too. They're not selling Zantac either. So the FDA puts out a warning.
Wow.
Low levels of cancer-causing chemical in that drug.
Yeah.
Pretty scary.
And then,
such a common.
Yeah, I know.
Common.
So
med.
We will talk to him in the 4 o'clock hour about that. And then coming up, Ben Bradley, who made quite a splash, speaking of the Bears game, he's coming up in just a few minutes on WGN TV News. All right.
Yes.
I want to talk about the Bears here for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I have some thoughts, and I have some fears.
Well, why would you have fears after that game? What a game. Shut out Minnesota?
Yeah.
Practically?
Yeah. But exactly how many touchdowns have they had so far this season?
That'd be a total of, well,
three, I think.
More than that. They had three against Washington. So five total?
Five total. Yeah. How many games? How many touchdowns yesterday in that game?
Just the one.
Just
right?
one.
Yeah. Just the one.
Just one, yeah.
It's interesting.
But that defense, good Lord.
I know. And do you know what? There was almost, did you see that? Khalil Mack almost had another back tackle yesterday.
Yep, just kind of spun right into it.
Right, he threw himself.
Like a helicopter move.
Right, he just throws himself backwards on people. I mean, he's a big dude. He is so impressive in person.
Mm-hmm.
And that defense moves so fast in person. I don't think TV can really, catches it. I mean, the game moves faster, like, you know, when you see it live. But it's there's something about that you just don't see a defense that comes off the ball like that.
Right, and there's so much depth. I thought Matt Nagy had a good game. I thought they game planned properly. I think Ryan Pace, you think about him after that game. Look at the depth on this defense. Nick Williams? How many times have you heard that name? And he goes out and he's destroying triple teams. It's like they couldn't even stop the man.
That's true.
And you got to figure Mack factors into that as well.
Right.
With the amount of attention he gets and those sorts of things and how much he impacts this defense and other offensive lines. So they are fun to watch. I thought they had the game in control most of the game. It didn't really feel like any nail-biter situation.
No, you didn't get that sense at all.
No, they didn't let the game get away from him at all. So it's, you know, all around, I thought it was a solid game.
It's almost not fair having Khalil Mack.
I know.
It's just really not. It's not.
And
I mean, this world where we want everything to be fair. It's like Monopoly. What would you call it? Like, the way the tech giants, they all have to be broken up. He's like a single force of nature. It's just not fair.
And if he couldn't get any more scary, he's got the motivation of facing the team that decided, no, we don't need Khalil Mack. We don't need to pay him. Sure, we'll trade him to Chicago. Godspeed, John Gruden.
Thank you, John Gruden.
I hate this London trip.
Why?
I mean, for football. These teams that go on it, thank God they got the bye right afterwards, but it's a mess for them because of the time change and when they're playing and how they're, you know, they're playing the same time that their body clock would be on, but they've, you know, it's a long trip over there.
Yeah.
It's just, and I'm sorry, I really, really, really hate to disagree with the NFL ever, and especially the commissioner of the NFL, Mr. Roger Goodell. But they don't care about it over there. The only people who go to those games are Americans. And it's and that's fine. But it doesn't, why risk the travel, everything sort of out of sync? And also there's a day game at night, you know, it's like a noon game, but it's at night. It's like, the whole thing's wrong.
I will say, I have relatives in England and they have heard of the Bears. I don't think they've heard of the Raiders. But for some reason, they know a little bit about the Bears. So the I don't know.
Well, the Bears played in London in 1986.
Well, there they might remember it from there. I don't know. They just I feel like the Bears are going to have more of the London following. And you already see some pictures people are posting on social media of some London pubs that are decorated in Bears colors. I don't know if that's because you've got an expat who owns the pub or not, but it certainly seems
that... Is that the Chicago Pizza Pie Factory?
No, it's like a real pubs.
Because there was
like pubs.
There was for years the Chicago Pizza Pie Factory there that... was that, you know, you just walk in, it's all Bears memorabilia and L train and all that, and sort of deep dish pizza, but not really deep dish pizza that tastes like fish and chips.
It doesn't travel well.
No.
I know it doesn't. It's got to be consumed in Chicago or be, you know, shipped out by a Chicago purveyor.
Yeah, there you go. That's mm-hmm. nice. So here are my list of fears. One,
okay.
That Mitchell Trubisky,
in order of importance,
yes,
or like
yes.
Okay.
Most maybe fearful? Not. I don't know. I have been making some of these up off the top of my head. But number one is my fear that Mitchell Trubisky will come back too soon. That's number one. Number two, where's Roquan Smith? We don't know anything about this, right? It's a mystery.
It's a mystery.
Very mysterious.
There are a lot of rumors.
Oh,
yeah. But the rumors...
Don't look at your social media, folks.
Yeah, because most of those have been debunked. So I don't know.
Well, there's something. I mean, why are they being so mysterious about he might not play in London? If you just didn't play for personal reasons, then there's an... I mean, the personal reason is obviously pretty serious. If you're in question again for the Raiders game...
They didn't need him, though, man. That was unbelievable.
That's what's strange.
That is so
crazy. And
Nick
Kwiatkowski looked like an all-pro linebacker out there. He led the team in tackles yesterday.
Yeah.
Running over Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook, by the way, entered the game as the NFL's leading rusher. He finished with, let's double-check the stats here, 35 yards on 14 carries. Just dominant all around. Kirk Cousins was missing throws left and right. You have to figure the pressure of Khalil Mack and that internal clock speeds up a little bit when you're facing that front seven. 3-1.
Yeah.
Nice.
I feel like we blinked and a quarter of the season's over already. How are we through week four already?
I don't know. But I do know that it's going to be quite a moment, I think.
Last time the Bears played in London, 2011, before a crowd of 76,981 people. So okay. There's interest when they're over
well,
there.
Well, right. They fill a stadium. It's a, you know, but okay.
It's all Chicagoans.
Let me ask you a question. I couldn't get the. And I, well, I'm going to talk to Ben about this because apparently couldn't get into Soldier Field last night. So there was a
poor
problem.
Ben.
Yeah.
His $400 seat was a little bit difficult to reach time.
So we'll talk to Ben about that. I didn't have a problem getting in because I know
didn't.
How to do it.
I know you've got the sneak moves.
I'm Mr. Stadium. Anyway, the thing that's like critically important is at Soldier Field. Was it three Saturdays ago? You couldn't move on Lakeshore Drive. Couldn't move. Place was jammed. The parking lot filled.
For the Packer game?
With buses and cars. And I who knows? And everybody had a Mexican flag coming out of their car that was driving to or from. I don't know what that was, other than it was a soccer game that featured a prominent Mexican team or a team, or whether it's, right? You're saying, oh, really?
I didn't know.
Right, it filled Soldier Field.
Well,
right?
There you go.
So that does not, and I don't think, I mean, I like soccer, and I like beer, but I...
still like soccer and beer.
I still like soccer and beer, but I know it's never going to be a gigantic sport here, right? Mm-hmm. I think the Premier League has, and European soccer teams, have a better shot of being more popular here than the American teams do.
Do PJ and Squee like soccer?
They like lacrosse, actually.
Oh, that's what
that
makes sense.
I will guarantee you that PJ and Squee are lax bros. Yeah, no question about it.
It's all coming
together. Sport of the future, bro.
All right. Welcome back, Kev.
Missed you guys.
Yeah, we missed you too, Kev.
Yeah, we can just get Lauren back. She's
she's
lost
stuck
in Europe. Yeah. All right. Maybe she's going to the game. I don't know. Whatever. All right. Let's check in. Stand by. Let's check in with Don Klepp and find out what's going on in the newsroom. And then Ben Bradley is going to join us for a whipping.
Roe, NASA's lead scientist, says the agency's close to a revolutionary discovery. Tell you more about that coming up.
Get Real in the Morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN TV Morning News team. It's off weekdays, 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN.
Ben Bradley is joining us from the WGN-TV newsroom.
Turning into a busy afternoon here. We're keeping an eye on the CTA bus crash. Did you see this at Lawrence? SkyCam 9 over it right now. Looks like this bus was headed northbound at Lawrence and crossed all the southbound lanes, wound up in the bushes or trees there. Pretty wild picture coming into our newsroom right now.
Wow. Do we know how many people were on board?
I don't know how many were on board. We have four injuries reported at this point, though. Four injuries reported. This was one of those long accordion-style buses. Mm-hmm. So imagine, you know, traveling across several lanes of traffic that was coming at you from the opposite direction before ending up.
Lawrence at Lakeshore Drive?
Yes.
And the outer
the
drive
bus was on Lakeshore Drive, outer drive, going north, wound up in the southbound lanes.
Wow.
There you go. We're showing the picture for you on CLTV. You see how good our producers are, Ro?
They are the best, Ben.
They definitely are.
Ben's giving us real news, so we don't talk to him about his Twitter
being called a loser
yesterday.
In the Tribune today.
It's fake news.
Wow, that is... All right, wait, let me just stop on this for a second. Obviously, if you're watching on CLTV, you're seeing this. Let me explain this to the radio audience. That's a large bus, right? As you pointed out, it's a bendy bus, and it somehow was able to jump the median. Right?
Yeah, that median there, I think, just has bushes as opposed to cement barricades. But it was going northbound, crossed through the median. We don't see any evidence that it hit any of the vehicles that would have been coming at it as it crossed the southbound lanes. But, yeah, then wound up all the way across on the other side of the roadway.
And off Lakeshore Drive and into, as you point, those little wooded areas along the side there.
Yep. So our Tom Negeman, I believe, is headed that way. We've got SkyCam 9 overhead. I know you guys will update it on the radio as well.
Wow. That's a very dramatic picture right
Yes,
there.
It is. Mm-hmm. All right. It makes you wonder how that could come about.
Yeah, I wonder if the driver was trying to avoid something in the road, but yeah, it's a wild picture.
Yes, it is. All right. Well,
Let's get back to the Chicago Tribune calling me a loser.
Well, they also called you an esteemed Chicago anchor, to be fair. But the loser headline was much bigger. They said loser in bold right above the whole thing.
And I woke up to my Twitter alerts from Lauren Jiggetts and a host of other people. But Lauren had just screenshotted the headline. Essentially, after every Bears game, the Trib does, winners and losers from that game.
Yes.
And thanks to Phil Rosenthal for including me in the loser category. But the headline just said, loser colon Ben Bradley. And Lauren Jiggetts had screenshotted that and blasted it out. And by the time I woke up this morning, it was everywhere.
So, Ben, let's talk about what happened. Ben.
This is
what
my
happened?
Mistake. Yeah. So I made the mistake of being a whining suburbanite. So some friends invited my son and I to the Bears game yesterday. We went 3.5 hours early. So we left home at 11:15, made it all the way past the Chinatown exit at 22nd Street in like 25 minutes, right? Super quick.
Great.
No
traffic.
On the Stevenson.
Yes, on the Stevenson.
You were trying to get there to tailgate.
Yes.
Right? Okay, cool.
The final quarter mile, so from 22nd Street, just around that curve by McCormick Place, to the 18th Street exit, an hour. People were driving across the grass median.
Much like this bus.
Yes. They were doing it intentionally.
Yeah.
And so all I did was I took a photo, tweeted it out. It was like 100 years of the NFL, 40-whatever years of Bears playing at Soldier Field, and yet they still haven't figured out how to get people effectively in and out of that stadium. The 3.5 hours before kickoff that it takes an hour to go a quarter of a mile is crazy.
Was there something outstanding going on, something out of
they
the ordinary?
They did have a half marathon earlier in the morning
The Ho-Ho Hakanane
Excuse
marathon.
You.
One.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Hakanene One One Marathon.
Yes.
We had a pronouncer on that last week.
We did, but we don't have it in front of us now, apparently.
Yeah. So lesson learned, either don't have half marathons on game days or reopen the roadway quicker. But that's always a nightmare down there. And when they redid Soldier Field and landed the spaceship in it, they just, I don't know whether they didn't think through the parking. And imagine when there's a concert out on Northerly Island. It's just as bad. You've got thousands of people trying to essentially use two roads to get in and out. On Northerly Island, there's only one road.
What's so. Really weird is Rokan had no problem whatsoever getting into the stadium. He breezed right in.
Yeah.
Well, that's because he had the unauthorized blue lights put in his grill and just gives it the old chirp.
Is that what happened?
You know, let me tell you guys about this wonderful service that we have here in Chicagoland called Metra. And the South Shore Line. They drop off at 18th and 11th Street. You can walk right over to Soldier Field.
Have you guys heard of that? Either of you? Heard of the Metra?
Is that the one with the unwashed masses and the regular folk?
No. I'm just kidding. No. But there's also the Red Line that stops at Roosevelt. Just a short walk east.
Hold on, I've got a... This is Ben's new music.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
I do want to thank the folks at the Tribune who, despite the headline that called me a loser... Mm-hmm. Did then, in the next sentence, refer to me as esteemed WGN-TV anchor, which I've never been referred to.
Right. That was a terrible
was a nice
in my
way
life.
To balance it out.
They're basically wrong on both counts. But I, you know.
There's going to be an editor's correction later today. In an item on Sunday night, we incorrectly stated.
Uh-huh. All right. So I guess coming from we came from the north.
Yeah.
So that must have been easier. But it is. I have noticed that they move that stuff pretty well. And yesterday being a 3:25 start, you know, people had been coming in all day, essentially. Did you people ever think of doing the thing where you go over the median, you get off at 22nd Street, and then you
loop back around? We should have done that. But what was funny was...
Did anybody go in their car? Did anybody do that?
But when I tweeted a photo of cars driving on the median to get around, and I tagged Chicago Office of Emergency Management and Communications, which handles the traffic aids.
Mm-hmm. OEMC.
They responded, "Thanks for making us aware. We have alerted state police and Chicago police for enforcement."
We don't need you to pull people over.
We need you to figure out how to
direct traffic
in and out.
Ben's a narc. That's what they should have called you.
A loser and a narc.
Oh, you should have got part of those profits from all the tickets then.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben Bradley. We'll see you on the WGN-TV at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Like that. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Thanks, Ben.
Bye.
Glad you got to the game.
Now they're making fun of him in the newsroom.
They are indeed, yes.
Want to meet Judy Pilak? Can I just mention this before we move on? We're going to talk about the Sterigenics plant that is not going to be reopening in the western suburbs with Jim Durkin, who is the House Republican leader.
Yeah.
And
that's
big his news. District out there. But I would like to point this out very quickly before we talk to him. Judy Pilak is going to be at the Goodwill store in Lake Zurich on Saturday. It's going to be spooktacular. This is a great way to meet her and not have to get on Tinder, I think, is a good way to look at that. You can shop for your costumes and your decorations, and we'll give you the chance to win Goodwill gift cards and tickets to a Chicago Bears game, courtesy of Goodwill. Maybe Ben should go out there so he can get more tickets and complain about having to get to the game. Goodwill stores in Lake Zurich, located at 746 South Rand Road. Come on out Saturday, October 5th. That's this Saturday, noon to 2. Details at WGNradio.com/events. All right, Jim Durkin is joining us, and... Well, Representative, thank you so much for being with us. Sterigenics has just now announced that it is going to permanently close that facility in Willowbrook. Obviously, the community has been, ever since it became obvious that what they were dumping into the atmosphere, into the environment there, was potentially very, very hazardous. This has really been very, very scary for that whole community, hasn't it?
It has been. And, Ro, thank you for letting me on for a few moments. It's been about a year and a half when the U.S. EPA, through one of their divisions, dropped this chemical bomb on the village of Willowbrook, saying that the elevation of cancer is highly greater in this town because of Sterigenics. And it set off a chain reaction of events, which nothing I've seen before, with the public and also all elected officials. Which also led to further study about air emissions, but also, more importantly for me, when the Illinois Department of Public Health released a cancer cluster report, and they showed that they were greatly elevated circumstances or situations regarding of leukemia, breast cancer, pediatric cancer in this area. There's nowhere else that you can point to, which is the responsible party. I've looked at this in so many ways, and it's the operations and the use of this product called, this chemical called ethylene oxide, I believe is responsible for making many, many people sick over a period of years.
Now, Is there a way to, I guess this is the real question here, because obviously, you know, if you drive on the Stevenson out toward Willowbrook, you see all the ads for the lawyers. You know, they're
yeah,
basically,
you're right,
you know, trying to say, hey, you know, do you have, if you've gotten sick, call us. Do we know how those cases have been going? I mean, is there a way that this has either maybe not to jury, but de facto been tied together?
I can't say for certain. There's some 40 to 45 cases that are pending in the DuPage County Court and also the Cook County Circuit Court regarding wrongful death and other acts of negligence. They are still in the very early stage, and those are going to proceed. I don't think this closure is going to have any impact on those cases, but the cases are going to continue, and those aren't going away. And I don't know what the future is going to be for Sterigenics and their parent company. They're going to have to make a decision, an economic decision, of whether or not they want to continue to fight them or if they're going to settle the cases. But these cases, the closure of the plant today is not going to sway or give any juror potentially down the road any sense of satisfaction. There's 40 years of pollution in the air through Sterigenics and its predecessor, Griffith Laboratories, that have to be held accountable.
Yeah, that's the sad part. You just said it right there. Decades of emitting potential toxins into the air. You have families that have multiple family members affected with rare cancers. You have moms and dads worried that their kids used to play baseball with downwind from some of the, you know, the whatever was being released into the air, and people who went and played golf right by there. And so many people thinking, right, what's going to happen down the road from now? If more and more cancers develop in members of my family? It really has become a public health crisis situation.
It is. It's a public health crisis. You cannot reverse it. What has happened in the past is just prospectively. And I can say that there's parents that don't let their kids walk outside the house with without one of those little surgical masks that you see in hospitals. You can't sell property out there. The property's been devalued. And that's a peripheral side effect and terrible effect from this. But what I said about a month ago, in a press conference, I said they're just looking to get back to some type of normalcy, getting back to living their lives. And the X factor in this has always been the operation of this facility, which is right in the within a few hundred feet of residential neighborhoods. And look, this is planning that went on decades ago. But at this point, you know, I'm satisfied. I'm pleased that after all of the disagreements I've had with Sterigenics under their decisions the last year and a half, they made the right decision today. If you're not wanted, leave.
Well, the question I think a lot of people in the area have is, first of all, how widespread is this? In this cancer cluster, how widespread is it? And it obviously goes beyond Willowbrook a little bit, right? I mean, they're
goes into Western Springs, where I live.
Yeah. And,
As an aside, Ro, I don't know if you know this, but in 2006, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor, right? Brain cancer.
Yes, I do know.
Oh,
and, you know, yeah. So I can't say that was it, but you know what? It makes you think.
Of course.
You know what prompted this?
Right.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm deaf in my left ear, but you know what? I'm standing up straight. I'm vertical, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
So the other question is by the closing of this plant, and obviously they've not been operating for the last year and a half, but do we believe that the area is safe? Is the the kids playing in the parks or you know, playing football on the fields or soccer, whatever it is? I mean, is there any residual carcinogens that might be, still in the environment that are freaking people out or that people should be worried about?
I don't know if they've gone into how far they've gone into the soils in the park and into. I don't think it's on a well system, but I don't know how far it has, how deep the contamination has been. All that has been tested has, from my understanding, has been the air, and that is where the stacks are emitting the EO. But I can't say that the rest of the area still does not have some type of residual contamination. I hope it doesn't. I don't know enough. It's a very complicated chemical, and I just hope that, again, that there can be this, we can sound a whistle and say, everybody go back to living your life. I hope we can get to that point very soon.
You hope so. I mean, don't doubt the power of a community to raise their voices, to rise up against a company that might not be acting the way it should be. I guess I wonder now if Sterigenics is moving. They say they're getting out of there because of an unstable, according to them, legislative and regulatory landscape. They said a lot of the information out there is false. That's what Sterigenics is saying. But where do they go now? I mean, do they land in another community? Maybe the voices aren't as loud, or do you think they'll pick a place that's far away from residential?
Well, you know what? I think that if they're going to continue on with that operation, they're going to have to, because a bill that I passed at the end of the legislative session places great restrictions upon opening up of new sterilization facilities 10-15 miles away from any parks, schools, and residences. So they basically have to be out in the field somewhere where there's going to be little or no threat to the health of any residents that are anywhere near that facility. So we're not saying that you have to get shut down, but you're not going to do this type of work in a densely populated neighborhood in the city of Chicago or the suburbs of Chicago.
So this is a victory for the people of that your district and the people of the southwest suburbs there today.
It's a huge victory for them, and I give them the credit for being vigilant and being strong. And boy, I tell you what, their voices were heard. They are an organized group of individuals, and I was proud to be working with them.
Mm-hmm. All right, State Rep. Jim Durkin, thank you very much. Oh, you know, I don't want to mention one thing unrelated to any of this.
Yeah.
Jim and his family. Next week, is it next week? 2 weeks? No, next week.
It's
next Thursday is going to be honored by the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation for all of their work on behalf of the city and on, you know, just doing the right thing. Jim comes from a family of 400 brothers and sisters. I think people may not be fully aware of that. And we're having all 400 of them at the...
They're the sweetest bunch of guys. So it's all boys, too. You know this, Ralph.
Yeah.
All boys. 400 boys.
Yeah.
Is there a Mike and a Steve and a Johnny? Because we always say that the family...
You name it. There's an Ignatius. There's a...
Yeah, of course there is. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, they've kind of brought me into the family a little bit, and it's a scary place to be. I'm not going to lie to you, but they have done amazing stuff for this community over the years, and obviously, it's a very common name. So people always assume that, you know, are you part of the Durkin family? And everybody goes, yes. So that's why there are 400 guys downtown right now all saying, yeah, they're like judges and doctors and lawyers and, you know, CTA conductors, whatever it happens to be. And they're all, oh, yeah, yeah, because they figured it gives them some extra.
That's really great.
All right.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, Rob, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
Right,
bye-bye.
Jim Durkin, Republican leader down in Springfield. How are things going down there?
But that's action you want to see.
Yeah, but the Sterigenics thing is a big deal.
It really is.
Very glad that they've made that decision and that there are people. I know a lot of people who live in that area and they are totally freaked out. I mean, even people who are not necessarily in that what has been identified by the EPA as a cancer cluster, but people just, you're not sure whether the wind is blowing. And then obviously in Jim's case or in other cases that I'm aware of, people get sick and they don't know why. And they never do know. And there's a lot of rare cancers down there.
Right. The Chicago Magazine did an interview with Jim Tomey's wife, Andrea, and she, I think, believe they were Burr Ridge, Hinsdale, and Darien area. Mm-hmm. They've lived in two different places, I think, or maybe three. And she talks about the different rare cancers in her family and just the not knowing where we let our kids play. Are they going to be okay? You know, a lot of concerns even moving forward.
Right. So good news there today, at least in that area. All right, let's talk to Don Kleppen. What's coming up in the news at the top of the hour?
Roe, after Mayor Lightfoot took a step to make teachers' union talks more transparent, the CTU wants to go further. More on that at 4.
All right, coming up, the stories that matter with Don Kleppen from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. And let me say this, that our friend Ben Bradley, who has been, he got trolled by the Chicago Tribune
Mm-hmm. He did. They called him a loser when they picked the winners and losers from the Bears game, and they broke down everything. They said he was a loser because he got stuck in that traffic where it took him an hour to go a quarter of a mile, and he was very vocal about that on Twitter.
Yes.
Showing how people were even crossing the median strip to get out of the way of all the crazy traffic. They weren't going anywhere.
Because Ben is a man of the people.
He really is. Mm-hmm. And he was getting there early for tailgating. So I guess there was some kind of a race going on in the morning. That was part of the problem. But the RTA is now trolling Ben as of 12 minutes ago. Hey, psst, we found a shortcut, Ben. Plan your next trip to the Bears game at rtachicago.org. So give it a little tip to plan ahead there. Don't just jump on the expressway.
I'm glad that we could throw some fuel on that fire here at the CLTV and WGN Radio, where we, you know, Ben was just on with us, and we were mocking Ben for being a man of the people and, you know, standing up for all of the West Suburban and North Shore swells that were on their way to Soldier Field yesterday for the game.
Yeah, there was some pretty serious abnormal traffic for those who were getting there early for the tailgating. You didn't hit it at all because you got there right before the game, it sounds like.
Yeah, right.
You missed all of it.
Okay, right in. Zoom in, zoom out, no problem, like going to Wisconsin. All right, I want to bring our own Kevin Powell back in.
I'm here.
To the program for just a second. Joe Maddon released Saturday mm-hmm. night by the, it was announced yesterday morning by the Cubs. He went and he met with Theo Saturday night in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
That's a terrible place to get fired, isn't it? Why couldn't they wait to get back here and do it today? You know, I mean, what's going on there? Why would they do that?
Wasn't his contract up yesterday?
Yeah, the decision was made. I don't know. The season's coming to the end. They were together. They had a glass of wine together. They shook hands and they parted ways. It doesn't really feel like a firing. I mean, you look back.
Was it Madden's wine, the one he sells at Binny's? Is that one? Because he's like
that's
he basically is Albino Ditka, is what he is.
Albino Ditka. Look, I mean, it's tough to. It does sort of feel like it got a little stale. A new voice in the clubhouse might help this thing, which is very much still a championship window. It is still very much open. Theo Epstein meeting at Wrigley today. He says David Ross is on the broad list of candidates to take the job.
He called him a very attractive candidate.
Yes.
And that's quite something to say at this point.
It is, and it's a trend we've seen around baseball where, for better or for worse, teams are deciding to go with guys who have no manager experience. We've seen that all around baseball, and David Ross hasn't managed, but he's beloved in the clubhouse.
Yep.
That's what we talked about last week.
He's
basically, they don't make any of the decisions anyway anymore. It's the guy with the golden BlackBerry. In this case, it would be Theo. And then secondly, it's some wonk. It's like, you know, if you've seen Moneyball, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's the Jonah Hill guy who's some sort of an expert in, you know, in algorithms. And he's on his computer and he's basically sending the signals down like a digital coordinator, sending the signals down and going, well, you're going to have to remove him after the 96th pitch because theoretically his labrum could tear slightly.
Yes.
What's a labrum? It's okay. Don't worry
about it. Just do what I'm telling you. Don't worry about it. And that's basically what baseball has turned into because of all of these different things. I mean, it has become such a mathematical mm-hmm. game, right? I mean, every piece of it is mathematical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The other name you keep hearing is Joe Girardi. A lot of enthusiasm about that potential.
But yeah.
Joe Girardi is going to be very expensive. They might be able to get.
I don't think cost will matter.
Grandpa Rossi for $50 in a sandwich. I mean, honest to God. I mean, they don't really have to pay the guy anything to do this.
Isn't he an analyst? Isn't he a baseball?
Yes, he works for ESPN now.
So he's got a gig.
Never really felt like he left the Cubs organization though. He seems to always be at Wrigley, and he's still part of the team in some way. It felt like that.
It's a marketing thing.
You know, as managers now, to your point, Ro, it's very much about managing the players and the culture and the clubhouse and those sorts of things.
Right.
And that's what Maddon was so great at, was the helping the culture change that they tried to implement when they got this whole thing rolling, you know, 5-6 years ago when Theo and everything just sort of changed. Maddon was a huge part of that. Remember all his antics at spring training and lighten things up a little bit and all his little phrases and slogans? So it was he had a good run.
I knew it. I just want to point out, it happened at 3:57 and 25 seconds before, 57 minutes and 25 seconds into the show before Kevin got to say he had a good run. All right, thank you, Kevin.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Coming up in the next hour, we have got Dr. Jim Abrams, Adams, I'm sorry, from Northwestern Medicine is going to be here. And we're going to talk about this big thing that CVS has decided to do and Walgreens and take Zantac off the shelves. Big story. All right, Dr. Jim Adams is joining us. He is from Northwestern Medicine, and this is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, yep, in case anybody is asking. And Dr. Jim joins us every couple of weeks to scare me, is basically what he does. That's and thank you for doing that. You're doing an excellent job at it.
I was just saying, you scared me enough to look for fiber in my bread now, and I've been on the hunt for high fiber every time I go shopping for bread. So thank you, Dr. Jim, for that.
My pleasure. And not one antibiotic prescription so far.
Not, yes. Not,
is
not,
that what you
That's
had?
Coming. Well, yeah, sure. When he walks in,
oh,
I'm like, hey, and I give him like a list of antibiotics. And he goes, no, you may not have them. And I'm like, well, if this were Canada, I could get them. And he goes, I don't care. This is not Canada. Leave me alone. And I'm not even your doctor. So
that's the point right there.
I think it shows that he's a very ethical man. All right. But this is kind of a shocking story. Mm-hmm. CVS and Walgreens have both stopped selling Zantac over contamination fears. And I read a story earlier today that that they were looking at all of the, what is it, ranitidine? What is the name of that brand?
Yeah, ranitidine.
Ranitidine is the actual drug itself. But this is Zantac only now, we think?
It seems to be Zantac, just specific to the manufacturing, a contaminant got in. And good for them for picking it up, and good for them for alerting everybody.
So now this is a cancer-causing contaminant.
It is.
Right? And do we know if there are any cases directly related to Zantac and this, or this is just a known carcinogen, and that's the fear?
There are no known cases. It's just a known carcinogen. It's just known to be toxic, so they say we don't want it in the drug. There's no purpose. Stop the drug.
Is there any idea of how long it's been present in the drug? Or is it regularly tested and they just picked up on it now, or is it something that potentially has been there for a while?
So I don't know that that's known yet, how long it's been in there, but with the monitoring of the drug, it was picked up, so mm-hmm. presumably between now and their last testing.
So what, Dr. Jim, if people who are taking this, and a lot of people are, I know people in my immediate family, and Rose says he's taking it, what do you take instead? What are you recommending?
Oh, just talk to your doctor. They'll switch you to another equivalent product, and it's just not a problem.
You won't even notice the difference,
not
kind of
problem.
Thing. You just switch right over.
Another ranitidine, because there's a couple different, even over-the-counter, right? Isn't Pepcid also that? Isn't Pepcid the same as Zantac?
There's a lot of different antacids. Your doctor will prescribe the one that's right, and it seems to be just this manufacturing facility, so any other medicines will be cleared.
Okay. And if you have it in your... I'm just always throwing them out anyway. This is why I'm asking them constantly, because I look at the pill, I go, that looks dented to me. I'm throwing that out.
Yeah, no, this one's
not good. The whole lot. I don't know.
You have a little microscope at home, and you sort of examine them before taking them.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do.
I have a nuclear medicine lab at my house. It's not helping me feel better, but it's something. So... if you do have this at home, though, I mean, if you have Zantac, it's probably, we'll have to wait to see if there are lot numbers that are going to be released, I'm assuming, here at some point.
I would, if you know the pharmacy, talk to the pharmacist, talk to your doctor. I think that the safest thing is just to switch you to a known safe product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, that's good. All right. I'm feeling better. I'm not exactly 100% sure. Okay. Whooping cough. Now this, see, that, like on Friday when we were leaving here and we pre-record these promotional announcements that run throughout the weekend, mm-hmm. and we were mentioning you and this whooping cough thing, and it's like back, whooping cough. I thought that was one of those things that they talked about from, a billion years ago, and nobody still got it.
You know, it's so disappointing because it's a really rough disease. It's really just miserable. And everybody...
With a cute name, unfortunately.
Whooping cough. Yeah. It's
but once you've heard the whoop,
Yeah, or experience, it's so terrible. But all the children should be vaccinated, really starting at young ages, even 2 months, and then 4 and 6, because it can be really harmful to children under 1 year old. So they recommend 5 vaccines up through age 6, and then boosters in the adolescent years and in adulthood. So people really should be immunized and have boosters, but apparently not, and the immunity can wane.
And it's very contagious.
It's very contagious.
So if you're around somebody, even nearby somebody, how would you catch it? Is it from you have to cough particles, or how does this how does it actually transmit it?
Yeah, it's not as contagious as the measles, but it is contagious through droplets. So just avoid other people's cough, and if somebody is coughing, don't get coughed on, because in the first week or two, it can appear mild. So just like a runny nose and a little cough. But then it can turn into a really severe cough and last a really long time.
And whooping cough is, by its nature, the whooping cough vaccine is pretty foolproof, right?
It is. It's a good vaccine. Now, you'll need to have boosters, but it's a good vaccine. Now, nothing's
100%. How often does one have to have a booster for that?
Right now,
as a child, you have to have a booster, or as an adult, should you get a booster?
As an adult, you should get two. So in adolescence, a booster. Every pregnant woman should have a booster. Everyone, your OB will take care of that. And then everybody that gets updated with tetanus every 10 years, automatically we just put diphtheria and pertussis in that vaccine. So anybody that gets a tetanus can check, but they should get both tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis.
Okay, I got to come over. I got to do that. I got to check.
Another visit.
I got to with
Brody's my. He's not your personal doctor.
My doctor doesn't talk to me anymore.
I know you're always on.
Right? Because he had to change his cell phone number 3 times.
I think
it was
a sign.
What about Bob with me? It's you know, particularly bad. But so are there any other vaccines that you recommend that adults get?
Yeah, there's a series, and your doctor, depending on the age.
Yeah.
And your risks and your travel will recommend the vaccines. So there's a long series we could talk about another time, but everything from pneumovax to meningococcemia, there's a whole list of things that's worth a conversation.
So talk to your doctor about that. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, I'll see you in the hallway.
You just want to be up to speed on everything, right, Rob? Make sure you have everything.
I guess if you go, like, now at Northwestern, you have the Northwestern app that you can look, and it's got your whole medical profile and everything on it.
Yeah.
You can make your appointments through it, and it's all right there, and all your test results. And I just pour over those at night. Sometimes I read them to the family. Now this is a chem panel, and I would like to read to you now my cholesterol levels and my HDL,
it's almost too accessible for some.
It's good to put kids to sleep, though. If you want me to come over and put Gabby to sleep, I can read from my chart.
From your my chart?
Yeah, it would be something. All right, and then finally, this is interesting. New study says that onions and garlic may protect against breast cancer.
Yeah, so I think it points to the benefits of a natural diet and low processed food. So the vegetables, the fruits. If broccoli and cauliflower came on the market, they could be marketed as medicines. They're that beneficial. And I would put garlic and onion in the same category. So people who are eating natural diets, really, it's a benefit.
So when you cook it, are you cooking those nutrients out or those protective things out, or should you add that more raw or slightly cooked?
So garlic and onion, it's fine cooked. And there's some vegetables like carrots that are actually better cooked because it releases nutrients. But just don't overcook anything. So on the minimally cooked side is healthiest, but just eat them. It's fine, as long as the chemicals are in there.
Okay. Can I ask something that came up earlier, another segment, about those surgical masks you often see people wearing, say, at the airports and things like that? And it was brought up in relation to Sterigenics because it's being shut down. And some of the people who live there, they were legitimately concerned, were either wearing them or asking their kids to wear these masks. Would that what do they filter out and what don't they filter out?
So two things. One, they're not as beneficial as people think because people are inhaling from the sides too much. So air is getting directly in from the sides the majority of the time. On the other hand, going through the airport, if my immune system was low and with all this stuff going around, it's not going to hurt. And if you actually keep the mask up against your face, it really can filter out larger particles. On the other hand, the viruses are often small that they can get straight through. So there's different types of masks, different degrees of filtering. And the masks that you see typically don't filter a lot. On the other hand, if it catches some big respiratory droplets, that might be better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't breathe through those things. I don't know. I start...
heaving.
Yes. I get claustrophobic in those masks, and I'm not comfortable in them. Thank you for wearing them. I mean, that's one of the things, right? I mean, it keeps people who are sick from being, it sort of works the other way as well, right?
It does, but the most important thing is hand washing, because most people touch a surface, then touch their face.
Yes.
And that's the thing that'll get you.
Yeah. And the airport, you mentioned the airport. Airport's bad because there's a lot of germs that we may not be in contact with because it's people from all over the world, right?
That's
especially
right.
At O'Hare. Right.
But that's why we think Chicago really can bring diseases from around the world and why we're on the watch out for those.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you ever go to O'Hare, though.
It's just... I go in a full body suit, full hazmat suit when I arrive. They don't like that either. Well, you know, that ties into this
TSA.
Antimicrobial thing, right? There's like an explosion, right? First of all, people are using all those antimicrobial products, right? So everywhere you go, whether it's a bank, here, at home, you know, people are either using it like a dish soap as antimicrobial, or they've got the, you know, Purell on their desk or whatever it is. And is that helping or is that hurting the situation?
So while there's some debate, the weak antibacterial products probably could be worsening things because it can kill all the weak bacteria, but the strong bacteria and the resistant ones live. So we don't know exactly.
When they say 99.8%, yeah, it's that 0.2% I should be worried about.
0.2 could ever take. On the other hand, products like bleach really just do kill everything. And at home, if you really want to kill stuff, just use bleach, and it will be great.
I will have no color in my clothing now.
We're going to start getting bleach wipes down in the whole studio before we start and everything. I was like, excuse me, all the microphones will be swabbed.
The smell of bleach. Now I know I'm safe. I know, man.
I find it interesting. You talk about how onions and garlic and different studies, these low processed food diet, and it really can help boost our immune systems. Ultimately, that's what you want to do in order to fight off most of this stuff that's going to be facing us on a day-to-day basis.
It's true. Most of our intestines are bacteria. And so what we need is the balance of healthy bacteria, and eating high fiber, eating fruits and vegetables actually keeps that balance right. And so that's why it's particularly important.
All right. And it's
good to remember.
Flu shot season right now, right? I noticed that they're starting to come out.
Yeah, see it everywhere.
It's starting to come out. People are worried because the flu season was really bad in Australia, and we looked to Australia to see how it might travel around the world, so it's looking bad. The flu shots will be coming out this month, next month, and the month after, but definitely get it.
And do we know if it's a good match based on Australia?
Don't know yet, but time will tell because the virus does mutate as it comes here.
Right. Got it. Okay. Well, that's all right. See what I just did right there? Now I'm going to have to gargle and bleach. And I can't do that. The doctor does not recommend that.
I don't think that's recommended.
All right.
But
just a Z-Pak,
good
Doc.
To know.
That's all I need, a Z-Pak, just a Z-Pak. All right. Dr. Jim Adams, Chief Medical Officer and Senior Vice President of Northwestern Medicine, and they brought us this segment. Thank you so much, Doctor.
Thanks, Dr.
Appreciate
Jim.
You being with us.
Appreciate it.
Let's check in with Don Klepp and find out what's going on in the news at the bottom of the hour.
R. Kelly has a complaint about his jail visitations. We'll tell you more about that coming up.
Get Real in the Morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV Morning News team. It's all weekdays 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN.
Right. Coming up, OB, Ed Obradovich will be here. He has thoughts. He'll be screaming. He'll be pounding. There will be emotion. And it's right after Don Kleppen from the WGN newsroom in 2 minutes.
But here's the cards that are dealt you. We got Chase Daniel, and we got an offense. And by the way, Chase Daniel, he may not be the fastest or the quickest quarterback in running and getting rid of the ball, but I'll tell you what, he has pretty good accuracy, and he stays cool and calm under fire, and I think we're in a good spot.
Oh, well.
That feels good to hear from OB.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. That's Ed Obradovich from the Hamp OB with and sometimes without cause. I don't know. I don't know exactly the name of that show now. Right? Isn't that it? And why does Mark Carmen not get any credit in the title of that show? He's the ringmaster.
Because he's hiding under the desk for most of it.
He has a lot of responsibility for that show.
He does. He does a very nice job.
OB, don't you think we should give Carmen a little bit of credit on that show? Something?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I thought. All right, let's talk about what we saw yesterday. You know, when Mitchell Trubisky, or as I call him, Rex Trubisky, went down yesterday in the first series, all I could think of was when Chase Daniel came in. There, first of all, Chase Daniel's a big dude. He is not a small guy. He's big. He gets rid of the ball quickly. He's a game manager. And that's really, with these offensive weapons that we've got, that's kind of all we need, right, Obi?
Well, I'll tell you, that's a pretty good start, Ro. When Chase came in for a young man that hasn't started a lot of games, he's been around. This is his 11th year, but I think he's only started maybe a handful of games. And for him to come in and take over the situation and be smooth and as cool as a cucumber, and what backs that up is he came into this game, obviously, you know, thinking, you know, I'm never going to see the playing field, but he did. Ro, he found 9 different receivers. 9. Usually when you're the backup, you come in, there's one or two you guys that you're throwing to in practice, and those are the guys you go to. This kid, Chase Daniel, came in and hit 9 different receivers. You talk about somebody coming in, understanding the game, and taking command of the game. He did a great job. He really did. You got to tip your hat to the kid.
I thought he was impressive as well. You know, the one area, and I hate to bring this to a negative turn here, because it was such a, you know, I thought they were in control most of the game, and the defense was so good. And I thought pass protection-wise, the offensive line was pretty good. But the offensive line has yet to get it going through the first 4 weeks in terms of the running game. David Montgomery had 21 carries for just 53 yards. I'm curious to what you saw from the offensive line, OB.
Well, the offensive line has been barn burners? Have they been blowing people off the line? No, they have not. They have played adequate, okay, because we have, I'll tell you what, we're 3-1? That's a pretty good start no matter how we won the games, but it's a pretty good start. So are they playing horrible? No. Can they play better? Do they have the ability to play better? Yes, they do. And they better get their act together, because I'll tell you what, we've got a couple of more easy games, and then we're going to get into the meat of the schedule, and I'm going to tell you something. They better be ready by then to step up to the plate, open some holes, and get this running game going, because I'll tell you what, our passing game isn't the greatest in the world. But so far, it's been adequate, and so far, we've been playing just so-so football teams. But, again, work to be done. We'll see what happens here.
But I don't think that Minnesota is such a pushover. Minnesota was, they put up some points. They have, they've had some pretty good games. Now, I got to say, when number 52 is coming at you.
Oh, boy.
He now haunts my nightmares. You know, I mean, he's like a guy. When you see him come off the edge, he is so fast. I used to think Urlacher was one of the fastest linebackers I'd ever seen play. This guy is like lightning.
There is a way to stop him. Okay.
Don't tell anybody.
I'm going to tell you, there's a way to stop him. You know, it may not work every time, but, you know, when somebody was very quick, okay, and really knew leverage. He could work, play the leverage game, really get like Dan Hampton. That's one of the things why Dan put him over the top of everybody else. Dan, for being as tall as he was, but he had great leverage and great strength. This kid, if I was to play him and I was a tackle today and I line up on a line of scrimmage, I would not drop back that half a step or that step and a half. Give him that step or step and a half or 2 steps before he reaches me, and then right around and back of me is where the quarterback is. I would have taken, I'd meet him right at the line of scrimmage. Fire out every time. Try to stifle him right at the line of scrimmage. Drop back, hit him again. Drop back, hit him again. You watch these guys. Just watch the films of this. Please believe me what I'm talking about, Ro. Watch them, how these tackles are backing up, shuffling. What you're doing, you're giving this kid all kinds of time for to go inside move, an outside move, dip his shoulder, come in low at you, and he can do a lot of things. You don't want to give a kid that has that kind of capabilities. I would meet him at the line of scrimmage, and there's no way in the world that I'd be backing off him. I'd just fire right out at him, and then let's go from there.
Khalil Mack saying that he's looking forward to, I'm not going to lie, I can't wait to play the Raiders, his former team. Thank you, John Gruden. We want to thank you again, John Gruden. They're going to London, though, OB, and I just want to ask you, as from players' perspective, that's a long way to go for a game. How do you feel about playing games in London overall? How is it for a player to do something like that internationally?
Well, I think they've been doing it for now. for quite a few years, Anna. And if it would have been me, I sure would not want to go over there and play a game. But they go over early enough so they get the time adjustment. And they have to look at it just like every other game. That's a league game. You know, just because they're playing over in London and it's going to be all this hoopla and all this other stuff, that means nothing. You still got to strap it up and go out there. And because, again, I've told you a million times, there's only 16 games. You, every one of them counts. Every quarter, every play, every game counts. So do they like it? No, I don't think they like it, but they have to go. It's part of the deal. That's all. That's the best answer I can give you, Annie.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that's fair.
Probably true.
Most of these guys are not international travelers, right?
No.
I mean, football players aren't known for that. I mean, obviously, this is maybe the first time these guys... You got to make sure when you draft a guy, he's got a passport in the NFL. Because you got to make sure...
Because these guys play that game.
Right, the guys are going to be moving around. And I don't, this whole idea, OB, of selling... I know they had a game in Japan, didn't they? And then they've got a Mexico game. It seems to me that's kind of... I don't think the rest of the world's really going to be signing on for American football. I just don't. I think that it's nice when they go over to London. There's a lot of expatriates that like to be there. I'm not just talking about people who played for New England, but there's also some other people from this country that are living mm-hmm. there. And so they sell that stadium out. And this Tottenham Stadium is supposed to be amazing, just opened up. And so it'll be really cool for the people who are. And there's a bunch of Chicagoans I know who are going over there. But you got to be, you know, and Ben Bradley's going to go and he's going to complain about the traffic over
yeah.
there too. I
That's
think.
What he does.
Yeah, but this is just, I think I always hate this when the Bears have to do it because you worry about these guys not playing well because they've never had big time change adjustments that they've had to make. You know, the worst is 2 hours for these guys, or it used to be 4 hours when they go to the Pro Bowl, but who cared about that? There's nothing really to it. You know, it's bad for both teams, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the whole jet lag thing, you're just not yourself. I just, you know. That's how it is. There's no way around that.
I agree with that, but what the National Football League is doing is obviously testing the waters. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been going over playing in England for some time. Now they're talking about, you're talking about where the game's going. I think they'll be playing in Madrid or something, in Japan. And that's obvious that the National Football League is testing the waters maybe to start an international league over there. Who knows? Worldwide league. You never know,
God,
but I mean,
expansion.
I don't need it. I got 32 games.
They're not doing it just to have a game in Japan. There's some reasoning behind it, which I don't know, but I believe there's some pretty good reasoning behind it. But the bottom line is to see if it actually works. Does it draw? Can we draw? That's what I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, you know what name we haven't really heard mentioned today?
No, I don't know which one.
And that's a good thing?
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Pinheiro, 8-9 so far on the season, and seems to be settling in just fine as the Bears kicker, and that's very good news.
Well, I'll tell you what, so far, so good.
Right.
And it's the reason why you say that with this team is because we struggle to score touchdowns. We absolutely struggle to score touchdowns and to put points on the board. So basically, more often than not, you know, 80-90% of the time we're settling for field goals. So you got to have somebody that can make those field goals. And it's going to be interesting to see how Chase Daniel handles this, because he did convert on some third downs. He did move the ball down the field on a long drive. He did throw a 37-yard strike. He did throw some great passes to the sideline right on target, and he looked smooth. He looked cool as a cucumber back there. He wasn't herky-jerky. He wasn't helter-skelter. And the big thing that I saw with him, like I told you, he had nine different receivers. That's pretty good.
Big.
That's pretty damn good.
Real nice.
When you first come in there and you can see the field, that's what it is. He sees his primary target, his second, his third, maybe his outlet guy, where our original starter, Trubisky, when you watch him, he's herky-jerky back there, and a lot of times he can't find two or three. And I'm sure, Kevin, when you watch the game and the listeners, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He gets so nervous back there. He's jumping around, moving his feet. He just can't seem to find the people. Why? I have no idea. This is his third year. That should be something that comes to him natural. But it has not.
you know, you mentioned this. It's really important. That's one of the things that I saw in the Brad Biggs column today, too, is that he was standing. He would plant both feet before he would fire, you know, and he gets the ball up pretty quickly, which is great especially for a backup. But, you know, again, you know, he's a scout team quarterback, right? So he's playing against the best defense in football 4 days out of the week, right? And then he's got to take on these guys. Hey, let me ask you right before we go here, a little locker room wisdom from you on this. You've seen a lot of guys with separated shoulders throughout your career, and it's not his throwing arm, thank God. What do you think how long do you think Trubisky could be out for here with a little tear in his labrum?
Wow, that's pretty tough. When I played, you would take shots of cortisone and hydrocortisone.
Yeah.
And I guess the healing process was like 6 times or 9 times faster than normal. And that's why when you saw a lot of guys back in the 60s, 70s, you know, they'd go out there and they'd get hurt, they'd come limping off, and there they come back next week, you know, and they're running around, jumping around, because a lot of people were taking those shots. With natural healing, if it's as severe as I think it is, you're talking a good 4 weeks.
Yep. All right. Well, at least they've got
4 weeks.
Maybe 2 games then, because he'll miss London. And although they haven't made an official statement about that yet, right?
Nope.
So, but we'll assume he's going to miss London. And then they've got the off week, but then they come back, as you point out. The tough games start right there. OB, thank you, my friend.
Thanks, OB.
Great
listening to you.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. There he goes, Ed Obradovich. Let's find out from Don Kleppen what's coming up in the news at the top of the hour.
Roe, some students ended up in the hospital after receiving the wrong shots. More at 5.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Benetti. How exciting is that, by the way? Congratulations to Tim Anderson. Wow. And to think, just to think, hate to get all sportsy with you here, but just to think that, you know, a year ago and throughout the entire fall into the winter, it was all about, oh, they got to go get this guy. That's, you know, the Sox were going to go get the shortstop of the future for them. And Tim Anderson just had chili right there. And let's just talk about the year Tim Anderson had and the year that Machado had.
Manny Machado.
Yeah.
What a turnaround, too. Over a 90-point uptick in his batting average. Just a ton of fun to watch this year. And for first AL batting title by a White Sox player since 1997, that was the big hurt, Frank Thomas. So I just, you know, there's so much just looking through social media yesterday as the season came to a close, how excited Sox fans are for the start of spring. Like, this is going to feel like one of the longest off seasons for Sox fans, because you just can't wait to see this whole thing come together. It's how Cubs fans felt 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the how does Rick Hahn put it? It's the beginning. It is the end of the beginning, meaning they're ready to take a big step forward. So Eloy Jimenez today named the American League Rookie of the Month for September. He finished with 31 homers. He only played in 118 games, 120 games, something like that.
Yeah.
So you look at what he's done. Jose Abreu won the RBI title. Look at all the individual growth from all of these guys. It just gets you so excited for 2020. It's what we've all been preaching for the past few years. Just wait a few seasons,
It does feel like it's here. They need obviously some middle inning pitching, one more starter, maybe
right
one badass
fielder.
Starter, and then look out. And they and a right fielder. But they're going when Luis Robert comes up, he's going to be a center fielder. He's going to be a monster. You know what? I'm even looking forward to Sox Fest. I mean, that's the crazy thing about this. It's like, I get that thing. It's going to be jammed this year.
It is. It's going to be fun. And, you know, with the amount of talent they have, and that's really without spending any real money in free agency. Let's see who they can bring in. Nicholas Castellanos, who looked pretty good with the Cubs, could be a very good option in right field for the White Sox. We'll see what the market is for him. But, you know, they've built a team
Do you think Grandpa Rossi's going to give him up?
Well, he's a free agent. He's entering free agency.
Grandpa Rossi's not going to go to Theo and the Golden Blackberry and ask if we can
keep
dear Golden Blackberry, can I have Castellanos? And it's going to be just a fun offseason for all that. And then our beloved Blackhawks start back up. Coming up in just a matter of days.
That's right.
Right? In Prague, and then they're back here next week.
That's right.
It's fun. It's October already. I don't want to talk about it. It's not October yet. At midnight, I'll start to cry. Heave wildly, you know, sort of like it's just that I can't, you can't breathe crying.
Get a cold sweat.
Exactly. I do it. Luckily, I do it alone, because if I were to do it with anybody else in the bed, that would end all hope of Nookie for the rest of my life. Right, just important things to know. All right, Don Kleppen is standing by in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. We got a top five at five. You're not going to believe. Listen to this. In the 6 o'clock hour, to talk about Joe Maddon and all of this, including the new rule now, the NCAA in California, they've passed a law that says that the players can get paid for their likeness who are playing in college. We are going to talk to Bob Costas in the 6 o'clock hour about all of those things, and obviously his thoughts on Joe Maddon and baseball and all the rest of that. It's all coming your way. But first, news in two. Thank you, Don. It's 5 o'clock, right? I was going to say something totally different.
Just after 5 o'clock.
And what is that now? What does that mean when
it's
5 o'clock?
We're conditioned to know what that means.
All right,
then.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. Checking in at
number five.
Oh, this is bad. This is bad news for me. This brings up really bad memories. Overdue library fines are now going to be a thing of the past. For Chicago residents, at least. That starts tomorrow. The Chicago Public Library will eliminate overdue fines for all CPL-owned items currently in circulation. Mayor Lightfoot was at the library at 95th and Halsted making the announcement.
To Chicago's residents who have been avoiding our libraries or holding their overdue books because they're afraid of the cost, our message is clear to you. Come back. Rejoin this great library system at your local branch or wherever you feel comfortable and bring your books back, but come back to the Chicago Public Library.
So last year, the Chicago Public Library collected $900,000 in late fees.
What? You can't use the $1 million right now? Seriously?
Budgets just never get straightened out.
I know. Here's the problem. We're giving up on all of this stuff, and we're basically saying, hey, don't do the right thing, and don't worry, there will be no consequences, there will be no fines, but if you are a property owner in this town, and you want to pay your taxes, we're going to screw you. That's the most frustrating part of this.
Right.
Like, at the Cook County, don't even get me started. Don't even mention her name.
Cook
County state's attorney, who's going to, like, let everybody out, and we're not going to prosecute anybody who's doing the wrong thing.
A little higher stakes when you have the unlawful use of a handgun or a legal weapon than have an overdue library book.
Okay,
you forgot to return your caterpillar.
As I pointed out today on the Windy City Live, I have three overdue library books.
You still do?
From 1974.
Do you still have the books?
I have no idea.
Oh,
mom, they might be in my mom's house. I don't even know.
What is a library? I've never paid a library, what would it cost if you, were a week overdue?
All right, so I was trying to figure this out.
It's pretty low.
Yeah.
Look at Kevin being responsible.
I think it was, 10 cents a day or
right,
something.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Right. That's why this is comical to me.
However,
really?
Could you do the math for me right here? Just do the math for me very quickly. So it's, all right, so 45 times 365.
The math? Ro, you just got to give over the next 3 years of your salary and you'll be good.
I just would like to know what that is. What is it? $16,425?
Ooh.
All right, so I only owe $1,600.
That sounds like a felony.
Yeah. Because it's 10 cents a day. Was it 10 cents? I don't even know what it is. Was it a dollar a day? I don't even know.
I didn't know overdue fines were keeping people away from the library.
Now that, you know what's keeping people away from the library?
It's 10 cents a day.
There are no books. That's the problem. You know, I mean, who needs a book? The only people who go to libraries are people who read books. Kids don't read books anymore. Everything's on their iPads, right, or on their tablets. I mean, this is not even, I mean, I'm telling you, and you're like, oh, you're a classist because the poor kids can't afford it. The hell they can't, they go to the schools. The schools are giving it to them. What are we doing here?
She wants to make sure that people don't feel embarrassed or ashamed to go to the library because they haven't returned a couple of books they can't find anymore.
Okay, well, let me tell you something about embarrassment and shame at the library. You walk in and there's a guy who literally smells like a combination of pee pee caca and alcohol, who's got his hand down his pants.
Well, he needs access to a computer so he can get a job.
So he can shower. For Pornhub. That's what he is there
I
for.
I hope not. They don't allow that.
Are you kidding me? I have 100% walked past somebody at a computer watching porn.
Yes. So wait, they do allow it because Kevin they can't stop it.
Does go to libraries.
Because it's only for that. It's like only for Pornhub.
High school and middle school. You'd be at a library.
Because his parents were always checking his history on the browser.
You know what would be really cool if, like, Jussie Smollett paid $130,000 to the city to cover some library fines?
Yeah, or just
his own.
Paid the police department. Don't get him started, Jen. Please. You just mentioned the other name that tends to send him off.
I'm moving on now.
Number four.
Chicago Bears played Sunday's game without linebacker Roquan Smith, but the circumstances behind his absence are a mystery.
Mysterious.
The Bears said that Smith missed the game against the Minnesota Vikings due to personal reasons. I'm telling you, they're getting like the NHL. You know, or they're just not going to tell you anything. Don't they have to tell us these things? Isn't it like in the players' contract that they can tell us what the injuries are and the other kind of weird
injuries? But if it's not an injury...
Well, why aren't they telling us so much about... They haven't officially released the information about Trubisky.
No, they haven't.
Why aren't they telling us this stuff? We want to know. Inquiring minds and bettors want to know.
But the Roquan Smith thing is so much more mysterious. All we're hearing is that they're working through his status, and we'll see. He's dealing with a very personal issue. He's out.
Coach Matt Nagy.
He's completely a personal issue. It's for us, something that we're going to just leave it at that right now.
Was he involved in a legal incident Saturday night?
Personal issue.
Would that rule out a legal incident?
I'm just going to say it was a personal issue. Okay, I'm not getting into anything else. And so,
okay.
But how a personal issue? You're out that game, and now he's questionable for the London game too. That sounds more serious.
Well, with.
Here's the problem. Communications 101.
Okay.
When the reporter, do we know who that even was?
The first one?
Yeah.
I believe that was Dan Weider from the Tribune.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Nicely done.
I think so.
Kevin does just vocal analysis all day long.
It's going to be a really good game. Kevin, whose voice is this in the sports world?
Right, exactly. So when he goes, does that mean it's not legal? And then he goes, it's a personal issue. If it were not legal, you say it's not legal.
Wait, you're saying if it isn't an illegal situation, why wouldn't you just come out and say that?
Yeah.
Hey, this isn't anything to do with legal.
Right, that's not legal. This is a personal situation. Because now he just basically told us it's a legal situation by telling us it's not a legal situation. You can discuss. You can have that conversation.
Well, if it were medical, would they have to disclose? Is that right? Is that an NFL rule? Like, let's say he had some off, you know, campus kind of, you know, he hurt himself. Would we know about that?
Well, what if it's something not related to playing the game?
Like a 28-day vacation?
No, because then But I'm talking about a personal issue that wasn't related to football. Then I don't think they're obligated to.
No, they're not obligated to, but they're going to. But everybody's going to be. This is Chicago. The hell? If they think the Chicago Bears, God bless them. We love them.
We do.
We love them. I got right into the stadium with my ticket yesterday, unlike Ben Bradley. I wasn't stressing out on the Stevenson. I got right in. It was fine. Because I know how to get there, unlike Ben Bradley. But the thing is, you're never going to get around that. They're going to figure it out.
We'll get it eventually.
Yes.
Of course, it will come out.
Right. And you got to say, I mean, if it's a legal situation, people are going to find out. And by not answering the question if it's a legal situation makes us think it must be a legal situation. Because you immediately say no, 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 no to that.
But wouldn't we have something then, like a report already?
Depends on where it happened.
Right.
Depends on what his representation is.
Who the hell's asking? Why would you ask a question like, hey, coach, what?
We're in the middle of a Super Bowl contending season, my friend.
Right, exactly.
Don't talk to me after February.
Right, exactly. These charges could wait. It's not a big deal.
Continuance, please?
Yes, don't worry about nothing. Yeah.
Personal issue.
It might not be a criminal legal situation. It could be a personal legal situation, too. It could be a civil legal situation. Who knows? But you got to get on it, Hey, because, a police report's going to come out at some point. There's always somebody. if that's what happened, or there's an incident report of some sort, or a filing if it's something that's going to go into the courts.
Overdue library books.
Right.
He's okay now. He's okay if it's overdue library books.
He can come out of hiding. She's forgiving everyone of the overdue books.
All right, hold on. Coach Nagy, is he? What about Trubisky? When's he going to play?
Again, we'll have to. If he's able to go this week, then we'll. You know, it doesn't matter. It'll help just for getting rest. If he's not able to go, then it helps as well. So we'll just it's time is what it is. And so as we know more here, and we kind of get some details as to exactly what's going on, and then where he stands as far as everything goes. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we have to discuss together and collaborate between the doctors and the training staff and us as coaches, Ryan and myself, mm-hmm. just making sure that we know once we get more answers and we know 100% as to where he's at. Time will be great.
Blah, blah, blah. See, nothing.
We know nothing.
Nothing.
On both fronts.
Right.
Well, Adam Schefter tweeted this. I'm one of the most reliable reporters in the football.
He is.
Initial MRI on Bears quarterback Mitchell Trubisky revealed he has a dislocated left shoulder with a slight labrum tear, but does not need surgery. Should be back sooner rather than later, per source. He will travel with team to London, unlikely to play versus Raiders.
OB thinks he should get cortisone and hydrocortisone immediately. That's what we learned from talking to OB in the last hour. Is it we're going to shoot him up like they did in the old days? What could possibly go wrong? In Dallas, they'd give him a little cocaine to get him out on the field and make sure everything's fine.
In Dallas.
It's true. They used to there's film of guys doing cocaine on the sidelines in the cowboy helmets. All right, in the 1970s.
I'd just like some more information.
Get back out there!
I'd like some more information on both of these.
Okay, me too. Yes, I agree.
We need it.
All right, 3-2-1 coming your way, but first, let's check in with Don Kleppen. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Roa displays man sentenced today to 45 years in prison. We'll tell you why at 5:30.
All right, top 5 of 5 continues. We have worked our way to...
Number 3.
Governor Gavin Newsom has signed a bill allowing California athletes to earn money from the use of their names, images, and likenesses, despite warnings from the National Collegiate Athletic Association. That's the NCAA.
We know it's by NCAA.
Acronyming. And the pair discussed the decision ahead of his... The NCAA. The measure would upend amateur sports. That's what the NCAA says. But the governor signed the bill anyway. And during an online-only episode of The Shop, a talk show that airs on HBO with LeBron James, this happened.
I don't want to say this is checkmate, but this is a major problem for the NCAA. It's going to initiate dozens of other states to introduce similar legislation, and it's going to change college sports for the better by having now the interests finally of the athletes on par with the interests of the institutions. Now we're rebalancing that power arrangement.
This is the number one reason why we've created this platform.
I thought the NCAA said that you couldn't compete in any NCAA games at all if they passed this into law, and now they just did.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, Lee Steinberg is going to join us, kind of super agent, and one of the guys behind
huge
this from California. He's going to join us coming up at 5:40 to talk about that.
Number 2.
5:37, actually, in case you're clock watcher. Watch your mouth. After 471 wins and a World Series title, Joe Maddon is out. Met with he of the Golden Blackberry, Theo Epstein, on Saturday night. The pair discussed a decision ahead of his final game as skipper yesterday.
Listen, 5 seasons for anybody that wants to denigrate anything that we've done over the last 5 years, come see me at some point. There's nothing to denigrate. There's nothing to bemoan. There's nothing to lament. It's been fabulous. Anybody would take that 5-year run, including a World Series championship, for the first time in 108 years. Come on. So it's a wonderful day. I'm really excited about the future. I'm excited for the Cubs' future. And we were talking about this yesterday also, and I said I will remain a Cubs fan. Absolutely.
Aww. There you go.
I love his use of the word fabulous.
So David Ross is rumored to be replacing Maddon. Mark Carmen got to talk to him.
Do I one day have an itch to manage? You know, that's definitely crossed my mind, especially with all the rumors that fly around. And do I want to put my stamp on a team and the things I believe in? Of course. Like, you see things. I mean, I think even as a casual fan, you start to want to kind of do things your way. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's all about opportunity.
Huh. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't feel particularly good about it. I don't know. I like when managers are like, you know, managers, guys who barely played baseball. They're overweight. They waddle out to the mound.
A lot of chew.
Right.
Going
a lot of chew. Right. You're not quite sure exactly what they know or they don't know.
Screaming.
I really prefer that.
Number one.
Season 45 of Saturday Night Live premiered on Saturday. Alec Baldwin, despite being, we were all told he wasn't coming back, as Donald Trump did.
I gotta take this. Kanye, how you been, my man?
A lot better, bro, actually. You remember those pills I was supposed to take, huh? It turns out I'm supposed to take them every day. Can you believe that?
That's good, that's good.
But actually, that's the reason I'm calling you, because I don't think we can be fam no more, fam.
What? Why not?
Give me the phone. Only in America.
Don King. Oh, don't tell me you dudes are partying without me. Is Rodman there and Tyson too?
Yeah, we were just having an emergency meeting of the black wackadoos.
There you go.
Their breakdown of the Democratic candidates, pretty funny.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. And I don't know if the whole show was great, but you know who was great? Billie Eilish.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget that she is like 17 years old. If you get a chance to see that on YouTube, see her performances. Both of them were amazing. All right, that closes this thing up.
It's the top five.
No, that doesn't close it up at all. That closes it up.
The top five at five.
Thank you very much, Don. All right. We were just talking about this in the top five at five. The NCAA dealt, a curveball today. See what I'm doing? I'm going to do some sports analogies.
Very nicely done.
Analoging. That's what I'm going to do right there. There is a law signed in by the governor of California today that is now going to allow in that state NCAA athletes to be able to make money off of their likeness. And one of the guys who, I don't want to put any words in your mouth, Lee Steinberg, super agent, but see, you were in the studio with us a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking a little bit about this, and it seemed like this is something that you might have been supporting, if not involved in. Would that be safe to say?
I am supporting SB 206, which is called the Fair Pay to Play Act, because it rectifies a injustice currently being done to collegiate athletes.
So how does this affect non-California athletes?
It doesn't, except for the fact that whenever California ends up passing some progressive legislation like this, it tends to have a ripple effect and spread across the country. But what this does is it allows undergraduate collegiate athletes to go ahead and use their name and likeness to sign endorsements. Part of the problem is that when you bring a disadvantaged collegiate athlete onto a college campus, they don't have the opportunity to live as well or equivalently as their non-athletic peers. Some of them send money home out of the scholarship pick. So let's say you have an athlete at Northwestern where the rents are really high, so they have to live a long way away. The scholarship check doesn't go very far. Their non-athletic peers are able to work during the school year or supplement their income. Some of them get allowances. But these players look at the fact that the NCAA itself made, I think, $1 billion gross last year. College athletics makes $14 billion. They know they're playing in front of packed stadiums. They know that all this revenue is not leaving them at the same qualitative standard of living as the other people on campus.
The NCAA, of course, is pushing back very strongly about this, saying they were not going to permit any athletes who are taking money. They'll be in violation of the rules. You won't be able to participate in competition or in any NCAA events. Is that going to pan out, do you think, Lee? What's going to happen there?
So the NCAA feels challenged, but where is their action to try to somehow equalize this out? You have resentful athletes on the campus, so what happens is they take money from either agents or alums, and they break NCAA rules anyway. So the NCAA, their only response was to allow so-called attendance clauses to come in major sports, which might give an athlete anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 more in scholarship, but it's just not sufficient. And I live in Southern California. Well, UCLA happens to be in the middle of Holmby Hills and Bel Air, which are multi-million-dollar homes. So the athletes have to live a long way if they don't have a car. Right now what's happening is you get supplementation from alums and agents that's obviously a violation of NCAA rules.
New York and South Carolina already considering to pass some sort of similar law after the California announcement. So you're right, it may have some sort of an effect where others will think that, you know, want to do the same thing. I would think for the athlete, why wouldn't you be giving a preference, a stronger preference to a California school if you can make extra money on your image or likeness on the side?
Well, certainly it can end up being a factor in recruiting, but the schools out here do really well anyway because they bring athletes onto a sunny campus.
Yes, bring them in sunshine. Yeah. We're familiar with the issue. Yeah. Although Columbus, Ohio doesn't seem to have a problem with recruiting. Uh-huh. It's cloudy 330 days out of the year in Columbus, Ohio.
That's true. It's a fact.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. Columbus and Alabama, yeah. You know, and Clemson seem to do pretty well. But here's the thing. Most of these athletes under one and done or under the junior rule for football don't stay on campus and matriculate anyway. So we'd like to have them do it, but they're just there as a way station to get to pro sports. So for the NCAA to get all high and mighty, there was a kid at UCLA who gave an interview a couple of years ago who said that by the end of the month they were eating Top Ramen every night for dinner if they weren't on training table.
Hmm. So I guess the confusing piece here is going to be the transition. Because if the NCAA really wants to bang down on these kids, let's give a practical example. So some kid at UCLA, he gets an endorsement opportunity from the Mercedes-Benz dealership, right? Mm-hmm. In Holmby Hills. Mm-hmm. And so he takes that money. Now he's no longer allowed to play. I mean, then that has to go to court, right? Because it's the law in the state of California.
Oh, absolutely. This will go to court. And remember, what will happen is endorsements are a pyramid, and it's only the players at the top of the pyramid who have the brand and selling power to do these endorsements. So people will also argue this is only going to benefit a few students, but those are exactly the students who right now have the biggest gripe. Those are the star athletes who have the biggest gripe, and they're the ones who end up taking money under the table. And you don't find out about it until a couple years later, and the university goes on probation. And, I mean, that's the Reggie White story.
Right. Well, there's
the Reggie Bush story.
Right. There's so many stories like that mm-hmm. over the years. And, you know, where there were guys, there was a very.
Hello?
Lee, you still there? Uh-oh. Dude, hold on one second.
Hello?
Hey, Lee, can you hear us?
Let's have producers pick this up. There was a quarterback at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I hate to, you know, bring this up. But he would like walk onto a car dealership lot mm-hmm. in Columbus and just take a car.
Oh,
and then
that's handy.
And then he left.
Did he pay for the car?
He would just take a car. And he left the university, and he then went, to like an hour later, mm-hmm. He went to go pick up his car, and he drove it off, and then they arrested him for stealing the car. So it's a, not always a fair and equitable kind of thing, because it was under the table. So there was nothing he could do to beef about it. And when they found out, you know, it was sort of like, well, I was doing this all the time. Well, no, you weren't.
LeBron James standing next to the governor of California as this was signed into law. He is a huge proponent of it. Changed the lives for countless athletes who deserve it. really thinks it's the right move.
All right, Lee Steinberg, super agent, is back on the Super Celebrity Hotline with us. And Lee, where do you think this thing ends? I mean, eventually, will this happen nationally? And then do you have to start paying all the athletes? Is there going to be a moment where the NCAA is going to finally have to relent on this and they're going to pay? Because if you pay the football players, you got to pay the...
an equal number of female athletes under Title IX.
Yeah, an equal number, though. It doesn't have to be every sport, right?
Right. No, an equal number. So if you have 105 football players, you have to find 105 female athletes and give them the same thing. So currently we have these attendance clauses. And so we are not let me be clear. We are not talking about treating these players like the Sultan of Brunei. We're not talking about a lavish lifestyle. We're just talking about their ability, you know, if they can to make calls to home, to have a car to get to campus, you know, to have reasonable non-training table meals. So this is a problem, and the sports that generate revenue on most campuses are the football program and the basketball program. So there's complications to this, but once you show young athletes a bit of freedom and liberation, very hard to go back.
Yeah. All right, it's going to be interesting.
But currently, Lee, they can't even make any money off of their social media presence. I mean, it's pretty restrictive the way it is. You can't take autograph money or, you know, anything like that. It goes beyond endorsements and what we might commonly think of.
They can only take money from their scholarship check and then whatever their parents give them. But as you know, a good percentage of basketball and football players come from families that are not extraordinarily well-to-do, and they're the ones with the biggest problem.
Well, why can't they get it? I mean, I know this sounds kind of crazy, but why can't they get a job? Like a lot of people, a lot of kids who are, you know, at any of these schools, you mentioned Northwestern, UCLA, or whatever, to augment their spending money. They don't necessarily come from wealthy families, but they get a scholarship. And these are academic scholarships. And then they go and they work, you know, another job on the side. Can the athletes do that?
Nope. They can't. First of all, as a practical matter, when you play a sport like football, it's not just a September or August through January event. They get those students up at 5 in the morning on many college campuses. They have to be part of an entire off-season training programs. They have spring ball in football. Yeah. And second of all, they're just not allowed to do it.
Okay, so that's because people would be asking that question, why can't they just get other jobs? And imagine some of those guys would get seven-figure jobs in the...
like working at the car dealership.
Right, exactly what I'm saying, right? I mean, wouldn't you, like, you know...
Oh, you mean our new paid football interns here?
Yes, exactly. Exactly what I'm saying. All right, Lee, thanks so much.
Thanks,
we always
Lee.
Appreciate talking to you.
My pleasure.
All right, Lee Steinberg Sports. He's the original Jerry Maguire.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that's all based on.
Super agent.
Yep.
I imagine the agents are happy about this.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
I would say that's correct. Don Kleppen doesn't seem all that happy about it. He's got the news at the top of the hour. What's coming up?
Row, a grim celebration of sorts this afternoon in Willowbrook. We'll tell you what that's about at 6.
On show with Anna DeVlantis right here.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an interesting story about airplanes and airline seats. Which
smaller?
I have a thought on. No.
Thankfully. I don't think they can.
FAA. No less an organization than the FAA says it is planning on conducting evacuation testing later this year because they think that the seats are too close together. And Americans are getting bigger. I had not noticed that. But I suppose that maybe that's true. I don't know. And they have, because Americans are getting bigger, they think that the evacuation, the FAA is looking at this in terms of evacuation.
So it's a safety
issue. Yeah, it's a safety issue.
Good.
Airlines are not going to like this. Because airlines stopped caring about evacuations.
They stopped caring about seat size, too.
Right.
A while ago.
So now you're literally folded in there
like a pretzel.
Like you're in an envelope, essentially. You're like just a series of envelopes in a drawer.
It's best to know how to do yoga if you want to be able to fit in those seats. Because some of those poses can be helpful.
All right, so Congressman Steve Cohen, you see him on TV all the time.
Yeah.
He's a Democrat from, I think he's from the Nashville area. He's arguing that, especially people are getting taller, they're getting a little wider than they used to be. Wider, not whiter, wider.
Thank you.
and there's people with physical disabilities,
mm-hmm.
right? Because sometimes you see people get loaded on the airplane, you know, like great-grandma. And you're like, oh, my God, they should put the oxygen mask just down for her. And you're thinking, now, in case of an emergency, what happens? How is she getting out?
I do think about that.
Yeah. What happens? Where do you go with that?
Plus, we need room for our support ponies and peacocks.
Well, and that's the point, that they said that not only are we, they're going to be testing not only for size of people and how to get out, they're going to increase the pitch, is what that's called, the distance between the seats, you know, in terms of on a row. So not, so how close is the seat in front of you, essentially, mm-hmm. is what the pitch is. So they're going to be adjusting that. And they're going to try a bunch of, they've got 720 volunteers of all different weights and sizes, including small children and animals.
Oh. Seems like Noah's Ark.
they've got a wellness pig or something.
Right. The support ponies.
Mm-hmm.
And, right. They've got a number of different animals now that fall under that category.
The FAA's acting deputy associate administrator, Lyria Liu. Which, but everything's acting now in Washington, right? You don't have any. There's nobody. Nobody is anything.
No one wants to really commit fully. Right. It's kind of one foot in.
Right, exactly. I'll stay for a little while. He said the simulations will take place in a dark environment with half of the plane's exits blocked. Flight attendants will not know which exits are available to mimic a real-world situation. They're going to mimic the worst-case scenario here. And see if they can, and then change the rules and tell you that you're going to have wider seats, which I don't know how they're going to do that because the planes are only so wide anyway. And you can't get the Carnarvon wagon up and down the aisle if you widen the seats.
That's true.
You got to get a new Carnarvon wagon. And then they got to have a new Carnarvon wagon holder, right? That thing that you, when you go to the bathroom and you see that in the back, they're sliding the Carnarvon wagon into another item and it's next to another Carnarvon wagon and you put the little red thing down and it locks it into place.
Imagine if one of those were deployed in the aisle. I don't know how you would evacuate under that scenario.
Right.
In 90 seconds or whatever.
No. Well, you got to have the Carnarvon wagon out of the aisle. I mean, hopefully the emergency gives you a little bit of,
a little warning.
A little warning. And then takeoff and landing, they got that. That's really where you're going to have a problem. If you're at altitude, you got a little time to figure out what to do with the Carnarvon wagon, which for me is drink off of it. I'd be the one hitting the nurse bell or whatever that thing is above me. Like, you know, the plane is like it's like going, it's spiraling toward the earth with the ground hurling up at you, and I'd be like, excuse me, I need a cocktail. I need another cocktail, please. Oh man,
long time coming for the seats to be reexamined.
Plus, you have to have a harness for your peacock, right? For your or something.
Where these animals go, but
yeah, that's. I mean, who needs this?
Mm-mm.
I don't know. I
708. I'm a flight attendant. It is about time. Even the flight attendants are hoping for this.
Yeah, I mean,
they only get a little jump seat.
They're squeezing every last dollar out of us, and the airlines are doing okay, right? Because fuel prices have been relatively mm-hmm. stable and low for their purposes, and the fact is that. Now they're putting 7,000 people on a plane. Remember, did you see the story a couple weeks ago where they were going to consider having a stand-up flight where you don't actually uh-huh. sit in a seat?
And you pay a little less for that particular kind
right.
of seat where you're on kind of a board in the back.
Yes, like Hannibal
kind
Lecter.
Of strapped.
Right, and they put you down. Right? I mean, there's no room in that bathroom, despite the fact that people are still trying to get it, get it on back there. And they're charging you for the bags, and they're charging you for
the extras.
Charge you for all the extra stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You want oxygen? That's extra. When the oxygen comes down, in the unlikely event of a cabin depressurization, you have to slide your credit card through to get the oxygen.
Is that what you do? I hope that never happens.
I would like to say that I'm afraid I just gave somebody an idea.
Some airline executives listening.
They might well be.
No.
So it's like, no, please don't do that. That doesn't seem like a very good idea. I myself don't, the flying isn't the kind of fancy fun experience it was when I was a little kid.
No, it's totally not. And there's never an empty seat anymore. That's right. The other thing. It's just completely booked planes all the time.
Right. Well, that's partially a safety thing, but I'm a big fan of the underbooked aircraft.
Yeah, you stretch out and relax a little bit if you get an opportunity.
But they don't have to do that anymore because they got these high efficient planes that can fly around the world nonstop on 1 gallon of gas or whatever the hell it is. All right. 6 o'clock hour. Bob Costas is going to join us. Talk about Joe Maddon leaving and all the other stuff that's happening in the sporting world. We'll ask about that NCAA rule in California as well. So stay tuned for that. That comes your way after 6:30. It's 6 o'clock. Thanks, Don. It's Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN, what he just said. Coming up, Bob Costas is going to join us. We're going to talk about Joe Maddon leaving the Cubs. We're going to talk about this NCAA rule in California now where the players can go get paid by an endorser.
The California governor, the new law that passed, you mean?
Yes.
NCAA hates this rule.
Yes.
They're really opposed to it.
But I think it's, and now the other states are going to fall into place here, so
looks
it's going
like
to be
that.
Something. But that's going to be a case where only the highest profile athletes are going to be able to be a part of that. So, well, we shall see. All right. How about this? There's a list out today of the 20 things that are completely obvious that now science has confirmed.
Okay.
All
so
right.
There were studies about things that we already kind of knew that were already totally true.
This we used to call this segment News of the Obvious.
Okay.
But here you have it. News of the Obvious.
Things you really didn't need studies to prove.
No, but it turns out that it's how it goes.
Okay.
So, number one, your cat is ignoring you.
Yeah, cats don't care. We just know that.
Your cat can recognize your voice, but it's not listening. University of Tokyo.
I knew it.
Showed that although a cat does know it's you, it doesn't care. The reason for that? Evolution. Unlike dogs, which were bred and domesticated by humans, cats domesticated themselves. They came around because the food was better and easier.
They know they don't need us.
Right. The dogs are working, and the science also believes that the dog sort of, it chose us. We didn't choose it. It kind of, the progenitors of the
right.
dog.
Kind of said, hey, I'm going to need to get with this group. They've
right.
got fire. They've got food leftovers.
Yes. It's easier. I'm pregnant. I need a house.
Because, so right, I just sort of stuck up to them a little
right.
bit.
Right. My boyfriend left me, and now I'm going to have this litter, and I need to feed them, and these guys seem to have the food. And if I look at them adoringly, they're probably going to give it to me. They think I'm cute. Puppies are cute.
Totally
this
works.
This could work. I'll teach the puppies to go along with it. So they did that, and the dog knows that the sucking up of the dog, very, very important. The cat, I don't know why. I don't know why people, I mean, obviously not exactly a cat person, have lived with them over the years.
You've lived with them. They have not liked you.
No, but I have had cats in my home, and I don't currently, nor will ever again. That is a deal breaker. But why a human being needs to be ignored by something that it is feeding.
Well, sometimes just swatted at. Randomly. Have you had a cat like that before?
Because
my sister's got a cat like that. I go over there and it'll be like, nice kitty. And all of a sudden, swat.
Yeah. Or
like I wasn't doing it. What was I doing? Why,
yes.
why did I deserve that?
Yeah, because this is my house. That's why that new Mayhem commercial, where Mayhem is a cat, may be the best Mayhem commercial of all time.
It is.
All right.
Cats.
Students who do homework get higher grades. A study now confirms.
You mean that's linked?
Economist Nick Rupp divided his class into two groups, those required to do homework and those who were not. The results shocked no one. Kids who took home assignments had a higher test score and retention rate than those who didn't.
Well, that's a good study to have, though. See, I understand the purpose of that study. It's so that parents can hold that study up and show it to their kids and,
see, they've done
yes.
a study on it.
See, it's not just me saying this. These are scientists at, Yale who
right.
came up with this.
Okay, can I just point something out? If you are a student who does not like to do homework, what do you care about your parents holding up
well,
a
your
study?
Well, your parents pressure.
I have
to pressure you to do it.
Look at this. That's right
part
here.
Of being a parent.
I heard this. On the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, it must be true.
It's a real study.
Fake news, Mom. fake news.
No, it's not. It's not just me.
Hashtag fake news. High heels hurt, according to science.
Oh, gosh. Don't do they ever.
A study by the Institute for Aging Research found that 64% of older women who regularly wore unsupportive shoes like high heels, pumps, and sandals, which, by the way, what's going on there? I mean, I'm just, I know I see that at Gibson's all the time. there's always one woman at the bar at Gibson's who's, you know, pushing 80, and she's still wearing the high heels.
She's used to it.
Yeah.
My mom has a friend like that.
Yeah.
She still wears, like, the big, like, gold coat and the high-heeled shoes.
Mm-hmm. And she's, but she's also interested. She wants to start, always start a conversation.
How you doing, honey?
Oh, well, that's a little different. Something might be going on.
I just want to say something right now. I really enjoy watching you on CLTV.
And then what do you say?
Thank you very much.
I like your heels. Thank nice you for, shoes.
Nice shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The high heels exaggerate your posture, tilt your hips, and shorten your stride. That's funny to watch that particular woman try to get out of Gibson's quickly, because it's little steps. It's funny because I did see, we were just there last week.
We were
week
just there. We were.
For an event.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a woman in front of us, I don't know if you noticed this, who was trying to get out the door quickly. And she was in these high heels and she was taking little stutter steps.
I've done the stutter step thing. I understand that. Because usually, if there's a general rule, it's the cuter the shoe, it's directly proportional to how uncomfortable they are. That's how it goes. To find like a really, really cute shoe that is not uncomfortable, very hard to do. I mean, I'm talking about heels.
Yeah. Study number four. Pigs love mud.
Do they really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Pigs don't have much in the way of sweat glands, which is good. That's what makes them so delicious. I think you want to look at it that way. I mean, this is the problem. The pig is a very smart animal, mm-hmm. and it's and they actually can have a really nice personality.
People have them as pets.
But they're not cuddly, and they're delicious. These are the two things that keep us from keeping them as pets. They'll go in a litter box and do all this stuff. They could be so much better a cat than they are, right, than a pig. I mean, the pig could replace the cat.
Yeah, hands down.
Yeah,
they're kind of cute, and they do. They listen. They learn things.
Mm-hmm. They learn more than they have twice the vocabulary of a dog.
And so delicious.
Yeah, but they're delicious, and that's the problem.
Pork chop, bacon,
and they're not soft and cuddly. You know, they're not like you can't. Yeah, their hair is bristly and stuff. I think I'm gonna do a pig-a-doodle and see if I can like breed.
Oh, that's a good
like
idea.
A poodle and a pig.
Everything's mixed with a poodle now, so
right.
Try the pig.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that works.
A pig-a-doodle.
Try it.
Yeah, and maybe I could be the genius who came up with that.
Or a poogle.
A poogle. There you go.
They have puggles. Why not a poogle?
Yeah, I like a pig-a-doodle. I think it makes it. I think it's. I'm just for marketing
a
purposes.
Pig-a-doodle.
Yeah.
okay.
So they found that because they don't have sweat glands, they have a body temperature problem, so they roll in the mud to cool themselves off. All right. Thank you, science.
Good to know.
Thank you. If you
got a pet pig, it'd be good to have like a mud pit as well.
Well,
at your house.
Maybe we'll get the sweat gland or the cute muzzle with the tongue that hangs out and the pig-a-doodle, and then you won't have to have that problem.
You breed that out of it.
Right.
And then they're hypoallergenic too, so it's great.
Study number five that we didn't need, cereal tastes better with milk.
Oh, that hands down, obvious.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Scientists at the Pontifical Catholic University of Chile did the unthinkable. They added water to cornflakes and found that it's
ew,
not as good.
Yuck. What was that?
They found
who financed that study?
some drug kingpin, probably. They found that the intermolecular interactions of the flakes in the matrix could be weakened by the plasticizer, leading to the solubilization of some components and therefore a decrease in the mechanical integrity.
Classic plasticizer.
Yep. So the milk, it turns out, was a better plasticizer. It kept everything, it kept the cornflake from disintegrating. How about that?
I kind of like my cornflakes disintegrating a little mm-hmm. bit, don't you? When you put the milk
yeah,
in, it makes
not
them
quite
a little mushy, but still a little crunchy.
Yeah.
That's why you got to eat it fast.
No, but I think you still need it. And I like, and quite honestly, the cornflake by itself is a pretty
pretty
awful
tasty
item.
I think it's tasty.
A little really? Bland.
Some of the other yeah. ones, though, too much.
The frosted flake I like, but the frosted flake gave me diabetes when I was 8.
Oh, eliminate that.
Yeah. Like, I would have cornflake or frosted flakes, and then some like one of those toasts with sugar all over it, you know, like some sort of like cinnamon toast kind of deal, raisin toast. And then I'd go to school, and at 10:35 every morning, I would go into a diabetic coma.
Oh.
It was like I would have the crash of all crashes, and then have to wait 2 hours to, you know.
Well, now they have those cereal bars. You know, you see those in workplaces, and I was just at a museum over the weekend. They had a cereal bar.
And it's just like eating a Snickers.
And it is.
You but they put breakfast on it. It's got to be. It's got to be good for you.
Right. Let's do this. All right. Study number six that we did not need.
Okay.
Men stare at women's chests. Yep. Sarah Gervais and her team used eye-tracking technology to confirm what we have always known.
This is a study we don't need.
No.
See, it's science.
Right. Fake science.
You're a pig.
Fake science.
Well, why is your eye tracking exactly there, then? How would you defend that?
I knew you were looking at her.
Men spent more time looking at a woman's body than her face. Their eyes wandered mostly to between their hips, waist, and breastal region.
I mean, that's just natural instinct for men. Something, yeah.
But women do the same thing, as it turns out.
Look at men's or
no,
women's?
They look at women's bodies. Well, you've seen that, the up and down look.
Right.
Or especially
well,
if
we compliment each other. That's what we do.
Okay.
Like, great outfit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You
right.
look good in that.
See, if we
nice
compliment,
color.
Though, we're hitting on the person
no.
or being a pervert.
Let me tell you something. Well, if you're complimenting, I've seen this happen. Where, you know, like you introduce somebody, you know, at a party or whatever, and there's, you know, a woman comes over, and this is the woman I work with, and this is, you know, your girlfriend or wife or whatever it is, and they go, oh, I love your dress. And then they walk away. Did you see what she just said to me?
What?
Yeah.
Someone was offended by that? Do
yeah,
you like
you
my
know,
dress?
I know what she meant by that. That's what women have some other, that's a whole other deal. You people.
I think sometimes we're just saying it's a nice dress. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
We compliment each other more than men do. Men make fun of
That's
each other.
That's not the way she took it. That's
why do you
not
put that
the way
shirt
she took
on?
It.
What are you wearing that for? I mean, like, you guys make fun of each other.
That is true.
Women in general, we compliment each other. Bring each other up.
And finally, this study that I think also did not need to be done. Party schools love to party. And, of course, Harvard did this. Because they're so mad that no one's having fun. At Harvard. That's right.
How do we have more fun?
Wait, what was the conclusion?
Said party schools love to party. Students binge drank more if their school had a reputation for drinking and partying.
Well, you got to carry on the tradition. You don't want to let all the prior students let them down.
And that's why, so we didn't get into Harvard. That's why we're there. Do you understand, Harvard?
Exactly.
It's not, this isn't just about that. It's kind of form and function, Harvard. And even though I didn't go to Harvard, I understand form and function. Thank you. All right. Don Kleppen, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the news?
Well, Ro, Chicago police have created a new way for the public to hold them accountable. We'll tell you what it is at 6:30.
For the news at 10, watch WGN. Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist. That's Tom Skilling, of course. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
Ro Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Bob Costas is going to join us.
How about that?
Coming up in just a few minutes as we talk about Joe Madden leaving the Chicago Cubs. What does a guy got to do? 108 years. Wins.
Gee.
The World Series. And it's like, 3 years later, yeah, I don't know.
What have you done for us lately?
He won 60% of his games.
Yeah.
60-0. That's 600 in baseball terms.
Second highest winning percentage in Cubs history.
Yeah.
Division titles, multiple playoff berths.
Yes. Five, right? Playoff berths?
15, 16, 17, 18. Four in a row.
It's right, a pretty impressive years. Record. Right.
So,
well, thank you to Joe Madden for what he's done for us, our city, and the Cubs.
Yeah. And I know, I mean, listen, Theo and Jed built a great team. You know, they gave him a lot of tools, and that's all good. And the Golden Blackberry worked. And obviously, Theo Epstein is a first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, in the executive wing of the of Cooperstown.
His phone makes it into
his phone
on display.
There should be just, you know, one of those Lucite boxes with his phone just floating in the middle of the Lucite box. So, yeah, he's, yeah, that's, I get it, that it's not just on the manager, but you really do that? I mean, wasn't Casey Stengel like the manager for 500 years?
I think it's a sign that the culture of the Cubs has changed, right? And I think it was a mutual parting of ways. You know, Cubs, Theo came to the conclusion, Joe didn't really fight it as well, and they shook hands and went, you know, Joe was like, I think 5 years is the limit in a town like Chicago, where it is an everyday grind because of the passion of the Cubs fans and how critical people are about every decision he made. I mean, it was like they won the World Series, and people, the only thing was, nobody was talking about the fact the drought was over. It was how Joe Maddon almost blew it late by keeping Aroldis Chapman in too long. And I've never seen a manager be criticized as much as I have with Joe Maddon.
Well, I mean, let's face it, Cubs fans have PTSD.
Right.
That's 108 years, generations right. of fallen family members who never saw them win a championship. And that stings for people. My dad didn't live long enough to see it. Right? I mean, it's that deal. Grandpa never saw one either. And when you have that kind of angst,
yeah,
and it's such a beloved thing, and baseball is one of those family things, and it's passed down, right? So when a guy does that, you keep the guy. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It is not him. And so everyone's a troll now. Everyone's got an opinion. I do like, he did take a shot, right, in his goodbye today about the people who want to tell you that they're worried about lineup changes and pitching changes and things like that. Or if you pull a defender out, you know, you choose to pull a batter away, you know, whatever you're going to do. All those decisions that are made in the dugout by the manager. And there's everybody, 99% of the people never got past Little League.
Right. But everybody's an expert.
So you got to just put up with that. That's the era of social media. And, you know, winning, and that's what he did. He did. He won here in Chicago. And now we're going to get some other dude, maybe Grandpa Rossi. And imagine when they go, what does he know? He never even managed before. They think it's going to go easy on him? I don't think so. All right. It's 6:30. It is time for Don Kleppen's News, being brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. Bob Costa's coming up. Done. It's Rob Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN Chicago. I think he just said that, but I'm just going to keep saying what he said. It works out for me. All right. Kevin Powell has just stepped into the studio with us as we're preparing for Bob Costas, who's going to be joining us here in just a few minutes. A few seconds, I should say. And are we ready? Is he good? Is he ready? Is he on the phone? We got it? All right. Very good. That's a professional broadcasting, Bob. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but that's real good.
Well, I'm deeply impressed. Are we taping or going live here? What are we doing?
We're going live. Let's go live. We're going live.
I'm so nervous. I'm on edge.
No, you've never done this before. All right.
No, and may never do it again.
I know the feeling. All right. So, Bob Costas. You are, you know, I think, you know, to my ear, the greatest baseball announcer, certainly of my generation, the best national baseball announcer, for sure. And with all due respect to Vin Scully, he's not from my generation. I would like to say that the minute that Joe Maddon was lost to us as Cubs fans, I immediately thought, you have to make me feel better about this. And I don't know that I can necessarily feel better about it. Because I look at this like, it's such a waste, right? I mean, are we really that short attention spanish now that we cannot allow a guy who, after 108 years, and then 3 years, again, all being in the playoffs except for this year, you got to let the guy go? Does that make sense to you?
Well, it makes sense if you look at the bigger picture, which Theo Epstein is evidently looking at, that he found something within the team, a lack of urgency. Remember the way last year ended? They faltered at the end. They lost the division tiebreaker. Then they lost the wild card game at home in 13 innings to the Rockies. So that was a disappointing end to the season, even though technically they made the postseason. And then the bottom really dropped out toward the end this year. Although what we're told is that this was going to happen anyway, even had they made the playoffs, even had they made it to the World Series, it's very possible that they might have made this change, because the way Theo sees it, they need a different person in the dugout going forward. Now, if you want to feel good about it, which was your question, here's the reason to feel good about it. Evidently, Madden and Theo both got on the same page. I know Joe pretty well. I don't think he would be just putting on a false face in this situation. I think he's okay with it. And he knows that he'll always be remembered as the guy at the helm when, after more than a century, the Cubs finally won it. He'll always be associated with that wonderful season and that wonderful communal feeling. Theo handled it with a great deal of class, standing alongside Joe and making it clear how much he's appreciated and how he'll always be part of Cub lore and part of the Cub family. And here's the other thing. There are managerial openings, or will be, in this offseason. And Joe says he wants to manage again. And there are interesting places where he could find himself. I'd be very surprised if Joe Madden is not managing another big league club in 2020. So it's not the end of the world for him, and it's not the end of the world for the Cubs.
Well, there's an opening within the Angels organization. He was coaching for them for 31 years, so a lot of history there. Bob, how differently do you think the manager position is viewed in the baseball world, with the amount of data and sabermetrics and the way front offices really seem to be having a better or a stronger hold on the team maybe in decades past?
Yeah, you said it. All modern managers have to be up to speed, maybe to varying degrees. Some are more immersed in it than others, but all have to be up to speed to a certain extent with analytics. And there is much more involvement, generally speaking, by the front office with managerial decisions. It's not a case of we hire the manager and he makes all the decisions. These decisions are made in consultation. You have analytics departments. It's not just the team president or the general manager. You have all these kind of, think of Jonah Hill and Moneyball, all these Jonah Hills running around in each organization. So it is very different. When seasons began in years past, not that long ago, you had your 25-man roster. And maybe with injuries or the occasional minor league call-up, you had a handful of other players during the course of the season. Maybe there'd be a trade during the course of the season. But now, the way you look at the roster, especially the way pitching is used today and the way teams tend to be careful with players and put them on the disabled list rather than risking further injury, you're looking at a roster of 35, 40 guys. When you come out of spring training, this is really your team. It's not the 25 that are eligible on opening day. It's 35 or 40 guys. So that's a lot more for a manager to be up to speed on and to know how to handle.
You've hit it exactly right, because it does seem like ever since Moneyball came out, we now have a really good inside look into really how the structure is. It's the general manager who has the golden BlackBerry. Right, he's the guy that is mm-hmm. You know, can do whatever he wants. Then you got the guy.
It's probably not a BlackBerry anymore.
I know, but it was in that movie at least. And then,
right, okay,
but
I'll give you that.
I'm just trying to. I think a golden iPhone is not as much fun. So then you got the guy, like you said, the wonk, right? Who's basically calling the fire anyway? Because aren't they? They're sending all of that information down to the manager, sometimes in real time, about about players and proclivities and this and launch angles that and all it. And it's become so much of a science now, which may be the way that baseball stays relevant, right?
In some respects, you cannot discount the importance of analytics. Anybody who discounts it, anybody who doesn't make use of it, is a fool. And that includes those of us who cover the game. But on the other hand, and I've had this conversation with many managers, the macro information that analytics presents is made up of zillions of micros. So since you're not playing every game on a computer, not every individual situation is the same as what the macro indicates. And some of that means that the manager's gut feel for what's happening in this game at this moment. Yeah, third time through the lineup, this pitcher doesn't fare well, usually. That's what the analytics say. But the manager's eye, from years and years in the dugout and on the field and in the game, says, tonight is different. His stuff is different. He hasn't faced that many high-stress at-bats. I'm letting him go the third time through the lineup.
because that's the way I see this individual situation. It may not be the way I see the next five or six involving this guy, but it's the way I see this one. Or as Joe Torre put it years ago, he said to Brian Cashman, the very bright general manager of the Yankees, Brian, don't forget, this game has a heartbeat, which means not just within the game itself, means in the clubhouse and all the human relations, relationships. You look at a guy like Bruce Bochy, who won three World Series. What almost everybody cited as he retired in San Francisco was the way he handled people. And maybe handles the wrong word. The way he related to people, the way he ran the clubhouse, the affection that players felt for him. So there will always be, no matter where the analytics take us, there'll always be a human element.
Grandpa Rossi is rumored to be one of the...
He's on the list, for sure. Joe Girardi, some others.
But Joe Girardi, obviously, you know, was a player, right? But a manager for a long time. Experience. Very successful manager. Mm-hmm. This would be Ross's, you know, first foray into this kind of thing, waddling out to the mound, walking very slowly, all of those things. Is that the wave of the future, the players, because it's just really about making sure that the clubhouse is at stasis?
I think it just varies individually. It varies. You know, you could say that the wave is or the trend is toward younger managers. On the other hand, Joe Maddon is 65 and had tremendous success. Bruce Bochy, about the same age, just retired. If he wanted to manage again, someone would hire him. Brian Snitker has the Braves in the playoffs, and he's 63 years old or something like that. So, again, it goes on a case-by-case basis, I think. The trend is obviously toward younger managers and those who have played the game at the major league level, but that's just a trend. It doesn't apply in every case.
Bob, can we ask you about this California decision to allow college athletes essentially to get paid? They can get endorsements, hire agents, profit off their image in any way essentially they want. It's a massive shift for amateur college sports, and it seems like other states are now going to follow suit, with South Carolina and New York saying, we're considering similar legislation. NCAA says totally unconstitutional. They're fighting it. Do you think this is a good move for, or a good idea for, college sports and college athletes?
Well, I think it's been obvious for a long time that a lot of what college sports is, the big time college sports, the revenue producing sports, is a sham. I don't think it's practical to say that you should pay the players outright from the universities, except a stipend. But if you actually begin paying them salaries and you have bidding wars, there's just no way that most universities could sustain that. And you would wind up with a group of super teams or super universities, and that would not be that large a group. But it has never made sense to say, all right, you're the quarterback at Ohio State. We're just giving you room, board, tuition, and education if you take advantage of it. But if a local car dealership wants you to do an ad, or if somebody puts your face on a T-shirt, you can't profit from that. That just has never made sense. And so, as I understand it, what these new proposals in California and other states lead us to is not direct payment from the university, but just an ability to profit off your likeness or off your fame or off making appearances of one kind or another, apart from what the university provides for you directly, which is just room, board, and tuition.
Right, for the best of the best, right? I mean, that's where that's going to go anyway, too.
The 58th guy on a scholarship on Michigan's football team or the 15th guy on the end of the bench at Duke is not going to profit from this, in Duke basketball.
Right. That's true. Bob Costas, thank you, as always. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Is right. I just said good night, everybody. Oh, my God, that was Bob Costas.
God, I love Bob Costas.
I do, too. I just want him to read the phone book. And we don't even have phone books anymore. I'll find one, and I want him to read it.
He does have a calming voice.
He does.
Called the greatest game in Cubs history. And it was, and I, it, that I, it's, it is, to me, still just the sound of his calls of that game in 1984. I think it was June 23rd, if I'm not mistaken. Cubs-Cardinals, 500 innings, 6,000 runs scored. It was the breakout game that made Ryan Sandberg the superstar he became in Chicago. And Costas is calling that is one of the greatest calls of all time.
You can just tell he just loves the sport.
Yep. All right. Let's check in now. David Jennings is in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. What's coming up?
Sterigenics says it's leaving Willowbrook and the community couldn't be happier.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Andrea Darlis and the reporters are coming up. And one of the reporters, Mary Vandeveld.
We know her.
Yes, how about that?
Mary Vandeveld.
It's a nice way of... she's a Walk of Famer herself, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, yeah, that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I would like to point something out here. There are reasons that I hate Philadelphia.
Oh, mm-hmm. Many reasons why.
But I just found...
Chicago sports fan in particular.
Yes.
Would hate Philadelphia.
Yes, I think Philadelphia is it's an armpit.
Oh.
And their own people treat it like an armpit.
Yes, and they...
Considering they destroyed their town on any time a sports team wins a championship.
And the Philly cheesesteak is not that good, by the
no!
way. No! Really, it's all hands around. Down low on the list of comfort foods.
You want to... And by the way, it's Italian beef with cheese on it, right. which I happen to think is an abomination.
Well, if it's a good Italian beef, why do you need the cheese?
Right.
Right.
And although Cheesy Beef is really trying to do as much as he can to win, he's rigged. Cheesy Beef has rigged all of the stadium Bona Beef... videos.
The little race videos you see during those.
Oh, right. It's like I'm defeated.
Right. I mean, at the Bears game yesterday, I'm sitting there and I see that the video comes up and I'm like, you know, Cheesy Beef's going to win this thing. And the guy sitting next to me goes, how do you know that?
Because he does.
He did.
Well, but Sprinkly Donut is the one that everyone roots for but never wins. That's right. The other problem.
Yeah, at Dunkin' Donuts. I know. That whole thing is just not right. Anyway, back to Philadelphia.
Okay.
Why do I hate Philadelphia? Mm-hmm. I hate their sports teams.
Yep.
I hate the fact that they threw ice balls at Santa Claus.
Yeah, booed Santa.
I think they threw batteries at him too. I mean, they literally, you know, like it's bad.
Yeah. Flyers
it's so
fans.
Bad.
Flyers fans are the worst. Yeah. All of our friends who went to the game, the first Stanley Cup win in 2010. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Said that they... Even Rocky Wirtz said he was afraid for his life when he was leaving the stadium.
Oh.
If you ask Rocky about Flyers
Rocky's
fans, he does
so
not
cool.
hold back.
That is true. That is true. So, there's that.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Is there more?
Their number one Halloween candy. They did this by cities.
Mm-hmm. What's their number one Halloween candy?
Milk Duds.
Oh,
really?
Among the worst Halloween candies of all time.
They just get stuck in your teeth.
They're just stuck in your teeth
right?
all the time.
You're like, well, and there's like a big clump in the back.
Right.
I mean, even when you're a kid.
You're just chomping on stuck duds.
And they're hard.
They're hard.
Yeah.
They're hard.
They're never
batch.
Soft.
Right. No. Not even a bad. I mean, is there a good batch? And I always wondered this. Was the milk dud supposed to be soft at some point? Like when it was delivered?
I think it was intended.
Came out of the oven and it comes out and they put it in the box, dumb box that it comes in, and then they send it to you. Yeah. Is that supposed to, what is that supposed
I
to be?
I think they're always hard because nobody eats them, so they're always just sitting around like in a drawer in your grandma's kitchen or something like that.
Aren't they supposed to melt in your mouth?
I don't think so. I think they just...
No, that's the M&M.
No, you're supposed to chew them a little bit. But they're just too chunky. They're just the wrong consistency.
No,
it's a texture thing.
Right, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe I lost a filling to a milk dud once, and that's why I hate Philadelphia.
Okay. It's a good reason.
best Halloween candy.
By the way, Charlotte, North Carolina also likes the milk dud.
What's the best
they're
Halloween
They're idiots.
Candy?
What is Chicago? Do we have Chicago? Wait,
Butterfinger?
They don't have Chicago on this list. This is really very disturbing
to
me. Really? The Twix is my thing.
Ooh, Twix.
Oh, I do like Twix.
Yeah.
Oh, I do. That's like a great house that gives out the Twixes.
Yeah. The Twix chocolates. Is good. And then the full-size.
King-size peanut butter cups.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Reese's peanut butter. I mean, it's very hard between the Twix and the peanut butter cup. But the peanut butter cup doesn't travel as well. Peanut butter cup can get dented.
Very
like
much.
In the bag. You know, you got to be very careful.
Squished.
And then,
that's the problem. Because they always make them like pumpkin-shaped or like specialty-shaped.
Right.
And then they're mushy.
Yeah. And then they got
the other problem.
You get the dent and then it's no good. And
hey,
again,
we're Kit Kats,
have it.
By the way, in Illinois. Top candy as of last year. I don't know what the updated list is.
Really?
Last year, we were Kit Kat.
Better than milk duds, that's for sure.
I hate Philadelphia.
Well, you have a good shot to root against them Friday, bro, when the Blackhawks play.
Right. But somehow I have to hate them internationally now. I would like the Czech Republic to hold their passports so they can't leave after the game is over. If they win. Which I don't think they're gonna win anyway. Hawks are gonna win. They already beat
They beat the
German team. That's all fun.
Yes.
All right. Andrea Darlis and reporters coming your way after the news at the top of the hour with David Jennings, which is coming your way in 2 little minutes.